If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I believe I can touch the sky.
Let me ask you something real that millions of Americans are thinking about and wondering about you. Do you like teenage girls?
When you say teenage, how old are we talking?
Girls who are teenagers.
Yeah.
19?
19 and younger.
Yeah.
I have some 19-year-old friends. But I don't like anybody illegal if that's what we're talking about, underage.
Some people think that you like underage girls.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Well, those people that don't know Robert, they don't know me. You know, so.
So there's no issue here.
Yeah.
They're all wrong.
Yeah.
There's no issue here.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
It depends on who you say they're all and what they're saying.
And now.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Our feature presentation.
Look, if you're R. Kelly and you're sitting down for your first interview since the 7-year trial that you were acquitted on charges of having sex with an underage girl, and the question is, do you like teenage girls? Don't you just say no?
Yes, you do not equivocate.
I mean, you really don't slice and dice that answer.
I got some that are friends, if that's what you mean, but, well, what are they saying? Yeah. It's like Michael Jackson. He never really definitively came out and said no. You know,
that's a great example because they say to Michael Jackson, isn't it inappropriate to be in bed with little kids that aren't yours? And he says, there's nothing better than being in bed with little kids that aren't ours. Instead of saying, yeah, you're right. I can see how that looks bad.
Yeah.
You know, and R. Kelly, I mean, the answer isn't, well, if they're 18 and 45 minutes, they're fine. I mean, that's not what you should be when you're 45 years old or whatever it is, right?
No.
I mean,
he's creepy.
Doesn't it seem like maybe that was not the way to handle that interview?
Yeah.
Would have been an opportune time to say, yeah, I'm really interested in just adults.
He's not a smart man, dude. I'm getting from that. And yet,
I think you're right.
He's Teflon.
Yeah. Well, he certainly has managed to maintain support, and I won't even say it's just in the black community, because he is a pop superstar. I mean, he is able to sell. I mean, he's had, since those charges were brought, I think he's had 5 platinum albums or something. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem to have hurt him at all. Of course, there's no way to tell. I don't know how many he would have sold if it had never happened, but he sure seems to be as popular as ever.
Sure does.
He's Teflon both in public image and musically, because he can make absolute junk.
Yeah.
Like Hair Braider and Trapped in the Closet and all. And people will buy it up. I mean, just like you think he's kidding with how bad some of his music is. And
it does
buy it
seem
up.
Like he sits around with his posse and goes, wait to hear how bad this song is. What do you want to bet I can sell a billion copies? All right, let's put it out.
Which, by the way, is awesome if he is doing that. Because then he's a lot cooler in my book. If he said,
exactly.
I'm going to make a song about a girl braiding my hair, and I bet you people will buy it. Watch.
Do you like teenage girls?
Just say no.
Right. There's no, I mean.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to say something.
He's thinking about it. He's,
okay.
He's got a posse.
Right.
Anyway, that's the interview that aired on the BET yesterday. R. Kelly is back and talking.
He should take a page out of Mel Gibson's book, who when he did his interview after his big, you know, anti-Semitic debacle, no, I love Jewish people. I love the Jewish faith. I have the ultimate respect for Jews. I mean, right out of the gate. There was no equivocating, like
right.
you said.
Right.
There was
right,
no
exactly.
ifs, ands, or buts.
So. Exactly. It's 5:33 on the Kevin and Bean Show, Thursday morning. Today, if I'm doing the math correctly, is the 18th already of September.
Oh. Yeah!
Oh. Mm. Oh. Anna.
What was the last one?
Mr.
That
T.
Like
a little
like
bit of Mr. T.
Oh, okay.
Can't argue that.
Well, I'm hoping, and it'll dovetail nicely after Mr. T, I'm hoping tomorrow will be a tribute in the Sextember Open to Talk Like a Pirate Day.
It will. It will.
Okay, good.
You just don't worry yourself about that.
Okay. And by the way, quick reminder, and make sure I remember to do this a couple of times today, Mike, is tomorrow is Talk Like a Pirate Day. We have a very busy day. We're not going to be able to be broadcasting live from someplace tomorrow because we have a very full show with lots of guests. But we are going to still be celebrating one of the greatest days on the calendar every year. And we are going to be looking for your participation on the Kevin Bean Afro line. And you can just call at any time and leave your pirate jokes or whatever you've got for us that you want us to work into the show. And that number, of course, is 323-520-AFRO.
Yeah.
Look at what you did.
Come on.
Wow.
Come on. That'll be tomorrow. Hey, one more thing real quick before we talk about today's Kevin Bean Show. Mike, I haven't had a chance to look at the thing you sent, but what's the deal? Is there something we should know about your charity thing that's coming up? Is it something the public can come to or contribute to or what?
It's certainly something the public can contribute to. It's going to be, they rented out like a big airport hangar to hold it. So if you want to come by, I guess it's Saturday, September 27th. So not this Saturday, but the following one. And it's just a exercise-based kind of obstacle course deal that's supposed to be considered one of the most physically fatiguing things you can do. They call it the Fight Gone Bad. And it's to raise money for prostate cancer research and fallen and wounded soldiers of United States Armed
great
Forces.
Cause.
So, yeah.
Listen, so it's like... Yes, go ahead, Lisa.
I was just going to say, he's even downplaying it a little bit, but some of the training he went through last week was running barefoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just the beach, but also on the sidewalk.
Yeah, yeah. Guys who were training before this convinced me that running barefoot would help strengthen the supplemental muscles around my feet and my calves, my ankles and stuff, as opposed to running in shoes, which kind of do a lot of that work for you.
Right.
So I ran about 3.5 miles, you know, grass, beach, and asphalt barefoot. And
wow.
Dude, you're not... That was cool. Tarzan. I mean, what's the downside of putting on a pair of sneakers?
Well, it sure felt like Tarzan, though, by the way. I was like, yeah, I'm bad. I'm a caveman.
Because some of the competition, he can't wear tennis shoes. He has to wear different kinds of shoes. He has to run.
A lot of the competition is like Olympic weightlifting and stuff like that. So you don't want to wear shoes that, like, typical athletic shoes are real cushiony and have big soles. And those will throw you off balance when you're doing things that really are based on lifting weight.
But is it a time-based thing? So you're trying to cut out the time of having to put your shoes on and take them off?
Yeah, no. Well, no. I mean, I'm going to wear shoes the entire time, but I'm going to wear special, like, really flat-soled shoes.
That aren't great to run in.
No.
But he's got to do that anyway, so.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's called The Fight Gone Bad because it's designed by a guy who trains mixed martial arts fighters, and it's 3 5-minute rounds, just like a martial arts fight. But it would be, if a fight went really horribly, and this was they consider it to be incredibly physically fatiguing, and not a lot of people can do it, but I'm going to try to do it, I guess, because it's a good cause.
Well, now that J-Lo has run her triathlon, I mean,
yes.
I guess anyone can do anything, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know how she pulled that off and still managed to have Nalgas and Big Fat Queso on her ass.
Well, she did just have babies, twins.
Oh, but so did Matt McConaughey, and he did it.
Yeah, and he looked good. You're right. He didn't put on much baby weight.
It's true.
It's a good point. Yeah. What's the most physically challenging thing that you have to do during this competition? Is it the lift and the weights?
Yeah, there's five exercises. Each is a minute. So the five exercises combined make one round of 5 minutes. And out of all those, I definitely think that the sumo deadlift is the hardest because it's something that you would normally do for really low reps and you kind of take your rest and then you're like, okay, I'll get back to that. For 1 minute straight of continually doing rep after rep after rep, really... It took its toll on me when I've been doing the training so far. So I anticipate that to be the worst part about it.
Good times.
Who would want to do this? Can people contribute?
Yeah, Lightning already agreed to let me put up a link at krock.com. So sometime this week, you know, check back.
Okay.
I would really appreciate it because, like you guys said, it's a really good cause, both prostate cancer and the families of wounded and killed soldiers. You know, can't think of better.
But you don't
causes.
Know a you don't know a website off the top of your head. That
off
you
the top
send.
Of my head, I mean, it's Fight Gone Bad. If you were to Google search Fight Gone Bad or put fightgonebad.com, it'll go to it. But there's a personal link for me to donate to support
to
me
to
and sponsor me, and I'm gonna have that put up on the KROQ website.
Okay, we'll do that because we want to do that.
Good Very times. Cool. Yeah, I don't want to donate, but I do want to hear what happens. So. On the Kevin Bean Show today, we got a lot of good stuff, including the thing I'm most excited about, which is the young, quote-unquote, model actress, Renee Schreider, whose name you don't know, but you'll be interested in hearing what she has to say because she is Mini-Me's partner in the sex tape. So she had sex with a midget.
Isn't she trying to get it sold?
I can't tell what's going on with this because, I mean, I assume she wants to sell it because she's coming on. But then again, I hear there's a lawsuit to bring it down, and I hear she's going to be on with her lawyer because there's some stuff she can't say. So I don't really know what the legalities are of this thing, if it's legal, if it's – I mean, it seems like, from what I understand from you guys when I was on vacation last week, that it may be tough to find. It seems like it may be one of those things that, you know, you're downloading more viruses than you are penises.
Yes.
You know? So I don't know. I haven't seen the paperwork yet. Is there an official site you can go to and buy it? I don't know. We'll find out all of that today. When
I think regardless of the tape or what happens with that, she fancies herself a model actress, and she's going to use anything she can to try to jumpstart her career. So this is what she's doing.
Sure. Hey, you know, George Clooney's girlfriend got famous by dating George Clooney. I mean, you don't really need to do much
other
than...
Yeah, but she dated George Clooney.
Right, but I'm
can
just saying...
Can you see the difference here?
But I'm just saying she's now a little bit of a star based on that, and it's not from any ability that she had or any talent that she had. Maybe this is all you need is some sort of celebrity association anymore to make something of yourself.
Well, there's famous ooh, and then there's famous ew.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's what she's got.
Also, I don't know, it's been a long time since we talked about near-death experiences, but Lisa saw a story on the news about a guy who has been in two of the major Southern California train crashes in the last 3 years. The
Richard
one that just
Miles
happened,
is his
yeah,
name?
Yeah, last week it happened in the Valley, and 3 years ago, you said what, Glendale,
he
I guess.
He was in that crash in Glendale where they just finished the trial. Remember, it was the guy that was going to commit suicide on the train tracks and then bailed out of his truck at the last minute, but
the truck
was like doused with gasoline, and it was horrible crash.
Glendale!
He was in that one as well.
So,
it's unbelievable that he was in both those crashes.
Near-death experiences are always fascinating because you do really realize, even for only a short time, wow, it could really all be over. And for some people, their life goes on, nothing changes.
Yeah.
Others, they really learn to appreciate every minute and spend their life doing different stuff.
Right.
So that's what we're going to be talking about in the 7 o'clock hour coming up this morning. Got a new Kevin and Bean instant request that I think you'll enjoy very much today. We've got there's a hot new trend in the hotel industry, by the way, where you check into your room and there's all sorts. Well, there's a pleasure package waiting for you. And it's become a pretty high-end industry, and it's become there's a lot of stuff that now people are really excited about finding in their hotel room.
I think that's brilliant.
People are no longer leaving their hotel rooms, apparently, is what it sounds like. So we got that on the way. Of course, we got more chances for you to win the Xbox 360 and all that good stuff, and the tickets to the Beck Show, which is sold out for the Hollywood Bowl this coming Saturday night. A lot of stuff on the program today. We're going to get started with Ralph's Showbiz Beat right after this. It's 5:41. We'll be right back on the 5:48. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Things are about to get interesting and funny, I hope.
Oh, don't count on it. Good news for actress Hilary Swank, Oscar-winning actress. Spent a few hours in the hospital yesterday, and rumors got out that she was sick, but it turns out she just has a benign growth. It was just a cyst. Her manager tells People magazine there are no continuing health issues, so she'll be fine.
That's
good to hear about Oscar winner Hilary Swank. More good health news for a celebrity. And this really is heartwarming. It's just glad to hear it. Steve-O of Jackass fame is apparently still very committed to his recovery. TMZ.com reports that as of this week, Steve-O's been clean and sober for 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
I'm
a little shocked by that, by the way.
I am, too. You'd think if somebody would have a tough road to hoe, it'd be Steve-O.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But apparently he is made up his mind that this is the way he's going to live his life, and he's committed. Now, of course, you know, it's one day at a time and all that good stuff, but still, 6 months. Congratulations. He's spending his days volunteering at a nursing home. And he says he is quite busy making old people happy, and he's never been happier with what he's doing. So,
wow.
That's nice to hear.
Guys, I probably shouldn't ask this question because his health is the most important thing. But will Steve-O be funny? Will he be funny or interesting sober?
Don't care.
Yes.
You think so? Okay.
I think a lot of people do a lot of drugs, but none of them were willing to do the stuff Steve-O was willing to do.
So will he do that stuff sober, though?
I think so. That's my point. I think when you do the things he was doing, the really extreme stuff, you do that naturally. You're crazy. I don't think
it has anything Knoxville to do. And those other guys made their decision to do their insane stuff with a clear head.
Sure.
So,
sure. Yeah.
You know, you can still be an idiot and still be sober. I mean, look at Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
Mike Sumo Deadlift. Doing sumo deadlifts.
We're laughing at you in the other room so much. Uh-oh. Misha Barton just broke up with her boyfriend Taylor Locke of the
band.
It
is a little bit of a hey, look at me with Mike with all the stuff he's doing, more than it is, hey, I want to raise money for charity, right?
We got through 20 minutes of story. No one knew where to go or how to donate any money to the charity.
Well, I had no idea.
I'm running at bare feet on cement, and then I do the sumo deadlifts, and I'll be, you know, it's like martial arts, pretty much, and I'm tough. And
okay,
how do I give money to the charity? About it. I had no idea he was going to talk about it. I wasn't prepared with any information, and so F you guys.
God forbid.
Yeah. Misha Barton just broke up with her boyfriend Taylor Locke of the band Rooney, but apparently she's already moving on. She was in London recently, and so was Josh Hartnett.
Oh, lady killer Josh Hartnett.
Doing the stage version of Rain Man currently in the West End in London. And apparently the two hooked up at a nightclub called Bungalow 8, met, hit it off, left for his hotel. All in about a span of an hour.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. He's good.
Good to be Josh Hartnett. Eva Mendes has also been a very busy girl. She tells the London Sun newspaper that she has made love in all 50 states.
No kidding.
Yes. Apparently, most of the action took place when she was on a road trip when she was much younger, but she said the best action took place in Arizona and Colorado and went like a do-over in Alaska. Apparently, that didn't go so well, but she's hit them all.
Where can I get a morning after pill or get treatment for an STD?
Ask Eva Mendes. She knows a place in all 50 states. Barack Obama has no problem with Barbara Streisand performing for him, but apparently he wants nothing to do with Lindsay Lohan.
Smart move.
Lindsay has volunteered to offer, to host a series of events to urge young people to vote. Mm-hmm. But she has been pretty much given the brush off by the Obama campaign.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan.
One insider says she isn't perhaps the type of high-profile star who would be a positive for their campaign unless you were testing for an STD.
Right.
Then also, most likely she would be a positive.
Yes, she would. I also can't imagine people out there watching TV or showing up at that event going, well, if Lindsay's voting for Obama, so am I.
I got to do what she does. Look at her excellent choices. She's
Lindsay! 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 Lindsay Lohan!
Megan Fox is very protective about her body art. Apparently, it disturbs her that people find them unattractive.
Dave.
I don't think all of her tattoos look great, by the way.
She says her tattoos are a form of art and finds each and every one of them extremely beautiful, despite what some people may think. She has more...
Hi, Megan Fox.
She has more than a dozen different designs.
Tattoo, mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Including, of course, the large portrait of Marilyn Monroe on her arm, which, when she holds her arm a certain way, makes Marilyn Monroe look like she has Down syndrome.
Hi, Megan Fox.
One of the tattoos, and I was noticing this in the... Not the GQ. What's the other one that's out right now? Is it the Maxim one
that's out
right now? Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's got a whole paragraph. I mean, it looks like the Constitution printed on her side.
I believe it's some Shakespeare she's got on her ribcage.
Yeah. She may have overdone that one.
I'd like to take a read. I'd like to peruse that piece.
Hi, Megan Fox.
Prose. Ah, have you seen Britney Spears' mom all over the TV promoting her new book?
I have.
Pouring out her book, Through the Storm. She got through the storm somehow. I don't know how
Stupid
she did it.
Stupid-ass bitch.
She says that all of her kids have read her book and loved it.
Sure well, they did.
Star Magazine has another story. Apparently, Britney is horrified that her mom aired all the family dirty laundry and the two are estranged due to the book. But that hasn't stopped Lynn from whoring herself out on national television.
She's mm-hmm. surprised.
She's a spectacularly horrible mother and apparently is blissfully unaware of that fact. Yeah. I saw her interviewed with Meredith Vieira, I guess it was, from the Today Show. They had a chunk of it. And so Meredith said, how is your daughter Britney? You know, is she going to be okay? And Lynn said, oh, yes. Lindsay's going to be back on top soon, any day now. And I was like, I think she may have been missing the point of the question, which is she going to recover from her addiction and her mental illness?
Yes. Will she
More
be
so than
healthy?
How many CDs she's going to be selling sometime soon.
That's yeah. really sad.
Lynn? Mom?
Yeah.
Hello? It just was insane to me that she didn't immediately go to, well, we've got her all the best doctors and treatment, and we're really hoping that she just gets healthy and strong
That's
again.
That's a priority for us.
First thing she said was she's going to be back on top again real soon. I was like, oh, man.
I saw part of that interview also where she was talking about how when she found out that her younger daughter, Jamie Lynn, was pregnant, she thought that she was still a virgin. So she was pretty involved in the kid's life.
Clearly.
Yeah, Jamie gave her a note and said, I'm pregnant. She goes, here's a note. Go into the bedroom by yourself and read this.
That's so how she talked to you.
News to her, basically. Yeah. And they asked her, don't you wish, in retrospect, you had been with Britney when she was growing up in Hollywood? And she said, well, I just didn't have that choice. I had another daughter I had to raise. So what was I supposed to do?
Well, that's gone well.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure,
I could see you put
all your
effort and time into that.
Yeah.
That kid, because that turned out.
Stupid ass bitch.
And yesterday, Gary Coleman was in court. He was formally charged for that event outside the bowling alley in Utah, where he tried to run a dude over. He was charged with reckless driving and disorderly conduct.
What's my name?
The incident happened on September the 6th.
I know how it is.
Happened when Gary was trying, a fan was trying to take pictures of Gary with his cell phone, and Gary tried to back up over him with his truck.
Getting rid of fans one at a time.
Yeah, he can't afford to get rid of any fans.
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
The guy was like the last guy who wanted his photo.
He should be kissing that guy's feet.
No doubt. I can't help but think of Gary Coleman behind the wheel of a pickup truck, too. That
right.
Looks like.
The wheel is like little, way over
his
head.
Black hands just sticking up out of the driver's seat, just working at 10-2.
That's the craziest part of this whole story to me, too. I always assumed he drove like a jalopy or like some clown car.
Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Robert Blake celebrates his 75th birthday today. I am going to Vitello's, hoping he's going to show up there to celebrate. Maybe we get a little gunplay. You never know.
Is he done, or is there still another trial still to come for him?
No,
he got
done.
Acquitted criminally, right?
Yeah, he got, like OJ, got acquitted criminally and got served civilly.
Right.
So now he's working on a horse farm, I think.
That's the last I heard.
He's a stall boy.
Yeah.
That ought to make the millions back that he owes, I guess.
Yeah. He's 75 years old today. Fred Willard, just one of the funniest dudes on the planet. 69 years old today. James Gandolfini. Tony Soprano. 47 years
he's
old.
He's a fag.
Oh, how dare you. What about Gandolfini's up to? I haven't seen him since he's showing up the year.
Just got married, right?
Yeah, but I mean, career-wise.
No idea.
I guess he doesn't really have to work if he doesn't want to.
Yeah, probably not.
It'd be nice to see an actor of his caliber working again. Ricky Bell of Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah.
He's 41 years old today. Always liked Belle. Not crazy about Biv. Hated DeVoe.
Really? Hated him?
I have no idea. Jada Pinkett Smith is 37 years old today. Actor James Marsden, known as Cyclops from the X-Men movies, also from Ally McBeal and The Notebook, he is 35. Rapper Xzibit, very talented actor as well, is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Don't forget, tomorrow's Talk Like a Pirate Day here at the Kevin Bean Show.
And you can contribute to the party by calling Kevin Bean Afro Live with your Talk Like a Pirate jokes or whatever you got. Lisa, what's that number again for us?
1-800-520-AFRO.
No.
323-520-AFRO.
No.
No.
AFR.
Oh,
thank you.
Please. You're not trying to make me say that, are you?
That's exactly what we tried to do.
Come on, get the spirit, man.
You're just going to make fun of me. What's the point?
Yeah.
R. Thank you.
It's like Talk Like a Pirate Day is like Christmas. It's not just a one-day thing. Today's Talk Like a Pirate Day Eve. You should be just as excited today as you will be tomorrow, Lisa.
I can't do the thing with the R.
You have to do the thing.
I can't do it.
Everyone can do the thing. That's the one thing everyone can do.
R.
Wow.
That was perfect.
Damn.
Flawless. Exactly.
I spent some time with pirates. I don't know.
Actually, producer Alex has joined us in the studio because there is a segment that we do, not very often, but from time to time. It's something we like to call Bad Pitches.
Bad pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert, spokesman, or public relations pitch?
Bad pitches for you.
Silly waste of time, dumb pitch.
Damn it.
Wow. I know listeners will find this hard to believe when they see some of the stuff that does make the schedule each day, but there's actually stuff we turn down.
A lot of stuff we turn
shockingly.
Down.
Yes, and then they have no choice. No to.
Then they have no choice but to go on Heidi, Frosty, and Frank.
I know, it's very sad. Well, the first one I have is a question I know we've all thought many times. How do you choose a pet bird?
A pet bird?
How do you choose one?
I can solve that. Don't.
Author Nancy Ellis Bell, who wrote The Parrot Who Thought She Was a Dog.
Oh, that was good, though. That book was good.
You know, should you choose a male bird, a female bird? How to address parrot messes, the controversy over parrot kissing, and my favorite, how to keep your pet bird from dominating your life, .. and your partner.
Did what? We say no already? Have we already rejected this one, or is this one still on the table?
I may have just accidentally deleted that. You know,
the problem with parrot kissing has been going on in these states for some time now, and I think we need to address it.
I think we should get Dr. Drew on.
I think we need to know if someday there'll be legal parrot marriage.
I think we need to talk to the parrot tomorrow on Talk Like a Pirate Day is what I think. This is going to be a big day for pirate parrots.
Well, guys, with the economy going down, did you know that brown bag lunches are going up?
Brown eye lunches? What?
Wait, is there an expert to tell us what to put in our brown bag?
Turns out, private chef Jonathan Miller, chef to the stars, would like
Stop
to make
it.
Us...
Stop it! All the chefs, by the way, who say they're for the stars.
Yeah, right. He would like to make us celebwitches.
Oh.
Not sandwiches. Celebwitches.
You can call yourself a chef to the star if you used to be a cook at Taco Bell and Corey Feldman came in once. I mean, that's all it takes is for that loose association. So he's going to tell us what to put in our brown bag lunches? Is that
Dude,
the
you
point
don't
of that
get
interview?
It. Peanut butter and jelly is the most common sandwich packed. There have been 8.5 billion brown bag lunches in 07. I feel very enlightened.
But I want some celebwitches.
Celebwitches.
I got your next Ask-a right here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, great.
Ask a duck. Colin from Costa Mesa says he sounds exactly like Donald Duck. Topics could range from my on-again, off-again relationship with Daisy and how I ruffled her feathers.
That's a joke.
And his favorite topic, Duck
China. Somebody send it in.
I'm sorry.
Comedy.
His favorite topic, what?
Duck China.
I insist that you book him.
I insist that we talk to him.
He is serious. He would come on the air.
I want to ask a duck.
He would come on the air as a dirty Donald Duck.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Is he a comedian or an actor or something? Or what
I
is
think it? He thinks he's a comedian.
Wow.
Is this an act that he does somewhere?
In his head, in his mind. He has, he has shows nightly.
I think I'm with Ralph. You should book that guy.
You should book that guy. Ask a dirty Donald Duck.
Okay. Dirty Duck
And then
time.
He could sing a song about being at a disco and how he got on the dance floor.
Good idea. Yeah. Good times. This is... I think this is filed under oddest pitch, but it's so weird that I had to bring it in. There's a lot going on in the state of California, so I like to think our lawmakers
parrot
are busy.
Kissing?
Yeah.
Trying to get a budget.
Celeb witches?
Mm-hmm. Apparently, Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi is a fan of the show and wants to come on and take a part in a skit.
I want John Garamendi to talk to the dirty duck.
That's what I want to have happen while they talk about parrot kissing and celeb witches.
I got this pitch from the state capitol, and I was
Are you kidding?
Is this an instant request?
Are you kidding me? You have nothing else to do up there?
Instant request.
Do they want John Garamendi to talk to Cruz Bustamante?
I do.
Dude, the lieutenant governor understands the Kevin and Bean show is extremely popular among LA residents and would like to take part in a skit of some kind.
Look, that's a form letter that I'm sure he sent to every radio station in California just to try to get on.
Not
Why?
Really.
Why would he want
this
to be on?
This was from his personal assistant, his guy.
That is so
I think
weird.
They're probably trying to, I don't know, put a happy face on state government or something. It sounds like a PR move. Yeah. I would be willing to bet he's never heard this show. That's, I guess, what I'm saying.
Of course not.
He thinks he's going to be on like John or Ken or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, guys. Do you know the difference between a schmuck and a putz?
No, I do not.
Just say new Yiddish for every occasion when English just won't do.
Oh, wait a second. Let's not.
So wait a minute. So they're going to teach us Yiddish, and so we can curse, and then they won't be having problems with us.
Michael Wex, hailed as a Yiddish national treasure. He's a leading figure in the current Yiddish revival.
Yes.
I was unaware there was a revival.
Yes,
wow.
We're bringing back Yiddish for everyone who is 75 or older living on Fairfax.
Have you ever wondered where Bubkiss, Tookiss, and Tchotchke come from?
Yes. I know where my Tookiss is, but I don't know where it came from.
Oh,
so
God.
He wants to come on and just explain the origin of popular Hebrew expressions? Is that what his pitch is?
And explain to us how to use them.
Right, and that how we can incorporate these words into our daily lives.
Popular Hebrew expressions?
Mm-hmm. They're not Hebrew expressions, Bean, you enormous
What are they?
Crackers.
Isn't that the language?
Yiddish.
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 Very different.
Is not Hebrew.
Hebrew is not Yiddish.
No.
I don't know the
Yiddish has its derivation in German, I think, and Dutch.
But they're both languages, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Used by the Jews, but one is not the other.
Well, they don't need two, all right? We're
managed to get by with just English.
Moses,
why can't they have just
speaking
one?
In Hebrew. I doubt he was speaking in Yiddish.
Look, but what you don't know is you can use these words to describe your most intimate emotions or talk to that annoying coworker who you just can't stand.
Kiss my tuchus, Lisa May.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think we'll pass on
I get bupkis from you anymore.
And finally, I think this guy's just given up. He's a motivational super seminar speaker, Brendan Burchard, who wants to get you excited about your life but doesn't want to make it just a regular motivational seminar. He wants to incorporate the circus.
Oh.
So he wants to invite audience members into a ring to work through their personal issues as they interact with acrobats, clowns, and jugglers.
Oh.
Wait, it gets better. Then he wants the audience to watch as he takes a volunteer from the crowd to deal with their darkest, deepest emotion. And
on the trapeze.
Them, 30 feet above the floor in a Ferris wheel cart so they can view their lives from a higher perspective.
Yes.
Hey, you're hanging from the ceiling. Tell us about the time you were touched as a child.
I'm doing it.
Then, just to show that he's in touch with the people who've come to the seminar.
He will molest you.
Brendan Burchard is going to walk a high wire 45 feet in the air and then challenge audience members to join him in overcoming your fears.
That's insane.
Woo! Yeah! He's charging for this.
How
in
much?
Long Beach.
Does it say?
It doesn't say, but you have to pay money to go see Tards on Parade. What is that?
I would like to see that show. I will. I would definitely like to see that show.
If you can get in the under the big top, Alex, and work out your daddy issues with a juggler, wouldn't
while
that be
I'm
worthwhile?
In a Ferris wheel on a high wire going on is really single mom.
That is so fascinating. I really do think I need to see that. I mean,
dude,
you and your wife aren't communicating. Show me that in mime. I mean, it's just so bizarre to think about.
There's Put her against the target and throw some knives.
There's going to be some circus strongmen available.
Oh.
To do what?
Come on.
Just to help you.
Do the sumo
your issues.
Deadlift.
They're calling it a social theater to help you out.
Wow.
Are you kidding
me? I would be hard-pressed to just choose one among those bad pitches because there are several there that sound like they might be worth exploring to tell you the truth.
I want to take the Dirty Duck and John Garamondi,
Governor Garamondi.
And I want to kick a clown in the nuts to get over my fear of...
And then eat your celebrity
sandwiches.
It's a motivational seminar meets Cirque du Soleil.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
That's brilliant.
What a schmuck.
See what we're saving you from with the bad pitches of the Kevin and Bean Show?
Doesn't sound so bad now.
Pitch!
It's been a while since I've been to a hotel that offers this, but apparently it's the hot new thing. They call them shag bags or passion kits. There's a number of different names for it, but it's the hottest thing in hotels right now. You don't just get sodas and Twinkies out of the minibar anymore. Now they have, adult personal care items is what they're calling it. And
what?
Well, it doesn't say here, it doesn't mention anything here except for condoms and other intimate items.
Hmm.
But we did want to find out more about this since it is such a fast-growing segment of the hotel industry. And we asked producer Alex to line somebody up for us. And Max Cadillac is on the line from Cadillac Novelties. Hey, Mr. Cadillac, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing today? How's it going?
Good.
It's going fine.
Hey, that's great to hear.
These passion kits, these shag bags, do I have that right? I mean, that's basically what it's for. It's for adults to entertain themselves while they're staying in a hotel room.
That's right, the passion kit. That's our biggest mover these days is the passion kit.
Sure.
And we got them in hotels all over the United States, and I'm telling you, they're moving like hotcakes. Women, men, everyone, children, everyone loves that, the adult passion kit.
I don't think kids should be.
Oh, they love it.
It's really good.
It's a great way to entertain the kids. When you're going out, you just give them a passion kit. They make water balloons out of the condoms, and they can make a slip and slide with the lubricants and a trash bag. It's the greatest thing. Everyone should have them, and they're amazing, and you get them right there in the minibar.
Here's an idea of what we're talking about. The Water Club is a hotel in Atlantic City, for instance. They've got an $18 a pop package that they say they've sold over 1,500 of them so far.
$18 a pop.
Yeah, I get it.
You pop twice, you got to spend 36.
Now, obviously, there's some things we can't really talk about on the air, but we mentioned condoms and other intimate items. What goes into these bags, and are there different kinds of bags for different hotels?
Absolutely. We got different bags for different people. Bags being one of the operative words. There's a place in Riverside, there's a hotel in Riverside that actually comes with a paper bag. You can put it over the head of the meth girl that you're with.
Oh, man.
So that's why you don't have to look at her missing teeth and her craggy face
from
too much meth. You just flip the paper bag over, and you, of course, it's got various holes in the paper bag so she can see.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, yes.
Or, you know, whatever she needs to do.
All right, I understand, yes.
And then you put on the condom, and we give you three. Because if it's a girl from Riverside, you should probably use three.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's wise advice for most of the 909 anyway.
And then there comes with a small shovel, so you can bury her when it's all
over.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, you're not suggesting that.
I'm saying she might not survive. You don't know. She's a meth head. She's a crack addict.
Yeah, she could be kind of frail, I guess.
That's the crack bag. We call that the crack bag.
Crack okay. bag, all right.
We got different kinds. We got, we did big business at the conventions, the Republican Democratic conventions.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. This summer, of course, in Denver and Minneapolis, they hosted those, right?
That's right. And a lot of hotels, of course, because a lot of people were there from the conventions out of town, and so they would stay in the hotels. So we were packing the rooms with our Republican and Democratic sex kits.
So you have different right? kits for each group?
Oh, very much so, because, you know, those kind of people can't be more different.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So for the Democrats, we had a little plastic wedding ring you could put on, so even if you were single, you felt like you were cheating on your wife. And that was very exciting for them,
yeah.
the Democrats, because sure. they love the cheating.
They're right, they do, yeah.
And we also had a little tax thing you fill out. So at the end of the sex, you tax the person for the sex you just had. So you could raise the taxes while you're banging.
Great.
Yeah, you'd be very comfortable with that.
The Democrats, they loved that.
Certainly, yeah.
Republicans, of course, we had, there were no condoms in that one. It's just abstinence only for those kids.
That's right.
So you just open a kit and say, oh, let's not have sex, because it's better. Then you do have sex, and somebody gets pregnant, and then you have to get married. It's all very exciting.
Well, that's quite a kit to offer in a hotel room.
Specialize. That's how you make business in the novelty world. You specialize.
Niche.
I guess.
Marketing,
you gotta keep everybody in mind.
Fill
sure.
the niche.
Yeah,
you
that's what she said.
You have to fill a niche.
Right?
We got a special kit for guys who live in the great Northwest, too.
Oh. No, no kidding, really?
Yeah. It's called the island bag, and what it is, it's an inflatable sheep and a copy of the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald on a mini disc, and then ponytail holders, so you when you get your hair up, so you don't get it in your face while you're having sex with a sheep or goat or cow or animal of your choice.
That sounds terrible, but how much is it, just so I know?
It's $117.
Oh, that sounds a little rich. Okay.
Well, we actually use a real sheep.
Oh,
I see. Okay.
Wow.
That has been deflated, and then you just blow up an actual sheep.
I see. And then, of course, you got all the lamb dinner you want afterwards. I understand.
Absolutely, and you have a nice sweater when it's all over. If you're shearing, and you have, we include knitting needles if you're so inclined.
That is really an interesting kit.
Yes, and it says, bean is gay when you're done.
Oh,
I don't even know that, why did we said that, but someone recommended we put that in there.
That is a specialty item.
Yes.
You going to get that bean?
I don't think I need that.
We'll send you a dozen.
Do we have time to hear just a taste of the R. Kelly interview from yesterday, Ralph? Do you mind if we hear some of that again? Because I still can't believe this was the first interview that he did. First time he sat down with a journalist since he was acquitted of all those sex charges with the underage girl.
Let me ask you something real that millions of Americans are thinking about, wondering about you. Do you like teenage girls?
When you say teenage, how old are we talking?
Is he still trolling? I mean, is that his way of saying, hey, if you're 18 in a day, go ahead and get in touch
teenage
with me?
Teenage girl, 13 is teenage, right? So
sure.
I'm torn, he's saying, basically.
Basically.
How old is the teen?
You know, he's 45. He's got lots of friends that are 19, but that doesn't mean there's anything nefarious going on.
What an idiot.
He's the best. I love that he's back. Thank God he's back. All right, 6:47 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Near-death experiences after the top of the hour. The young lady in the Mini-Me sex tape also coming up next hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's going on?
Anybody watching The True Blood over on HBO? Vampire sex drama soap opera?
I'm not, but my wife loves it.
Chicks dig vampires for some reason.
Yeah, and she says there's lots of hot guys on it, too.
That's why, Dave the King of Mexico is a big fan, apparently.
Of course.
He's a teenage girl. Well, apparently it didn't do so well initially. But after repeated showings on HBO, the new vampire drama has picked up enough viewers so that HBO has picked it up for next season, just after two episodes.
Wow, that's great. Wow. It's Alan Ball, right?
It is Alan Ball, creator of 6 Feet Under, created this as well. HBO president Michael Lombardo told The Hollywood Reporter, it's okay to get hooked on the show, relax, it'll be coming back. So
that is always a worry when a new show comes out.
You don't necessarily want to invest yourself because you're afraid it will disappear. But season two will start next summer, apparently. So fans of True Blood, take heart. Your vampires will carry on.
I do want to check it out. I mean,
HBO is hit and miss with their series, but I have heard some good things about this one.
HBO passed on Mad Men. Vampire drama picked that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. How about that?
Are you watching The Mad Men, by the way?
Yes.
Sunday's episode was just
insane. Unbelievable. Devastating.
Insane. Just better. Every week is getting better and better.
Yeah. And it's really been wild to see January Jones' character, Betty Draper, to see her finally crack and, like, come out of her domestic shell that she's been in for the first season and a half, and now all of a sudden she's becoming a woman.
When she busted that chair up, I was like, okay, this is big trouble.
This is trouble
because she's nuts now.
Many of us have had the phone call that says, don't come home. It does put you in an interesting...
Speak for yourself, mister.
I'm just saying many. I didn't say everybody. I said many of us have had a fight or something where maybe there's been a boo-boo, and they've said, don't come home, and it's a challenging time, and it's fascinating to see it play out like this.
Imagine if Donna said to Bean, don't come home. What would he do? Where would he go? All he has is home. It's like...
It's true.
Where would I go?
Like Dracula without his coffin. He would just burst into flames once the sunlight hit him. There's just nothing he could do.
Live in my car, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of TV news, Jada Pinkett Smith, who's also a birthday girl today, has just signed a deal with TNT for a new series called Time Heals. She will be the executive producer as well as the star of the show. It is about a single mother and director of nursing at a North Carolina hospital. So, a medical drama for Jada Pinkett Smith.
I like her.
I do, too.
She's never done TV.
She got her start on A Different World, the Cosby Show spinoff.
That.
That's where she started,
Interesting. Well, I would like to see her on TV. I think she'd
be
good.
Well, you've got your wish, Lisa. She's going to be on TNT. Congratulations. Speaking of medical dramas, see House this week?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Wow, is that show good.
Speaking of near-death experiences, right?
Yeah, exactly. This is good news for the ladies out there, like Lisa and Miss Cleo, who just is out of her mind about Sex in the City.
Yes.
Apparently, Candace Bushnell, the author of the original books in which the series was based, has signed a deal to write two books about Carrie Bradshaw, the heroine from her Sex in the City books and the TV series, about Carrie's teenaged years.
Interesting.
This will be Carrie Bradshaw as a teenage whore, as opposed to a grown-up horror.
Aww.
Huh.
The high school novels will begin coming out in fall of 2010.
So this author has just the one idea?
Yes.
And needs to go back to that?
I'm just going
to
repackage it as often as possible.
She has written some other stuff that
was like Lipstick Jungle.
So
that was
good.
Radically different than Sex in the City because it was three women talking about sex as opposed to four.
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying her other stuff isn't as good.
Yeah. So teenage Sex in the City.
Okay.
Fugly, the early years.
Yeah. When she was just
a cult.
Exactly. Horror movie in the works, starring Audrina Partridge.
No.
Partridge in a Pear Tree.
It's going to be called... Actress Audrina?
Actress Audrina Partridge will be starring in a horror movie called Sorority Row.
When you can't act, they put you in a horror movie.
It's because then you just have to scream and get killed.
Right.
I bet it's going to be good.
And
horror movie
not much.
Set in a sorority house where somebody's trying to kill the sorority girls after a pledge prank goes horribly wrong. Hollywood Reporter reports that Rumor Willis, Jamie Chung, Samurai Girl, and Audrina Partridge will play some of the sisters on Sorority Row.
Can't wait.
I'm a Whitney guy, as you know, from the Hills. She's my girl. I used to really find Audrina attractive until Mike pointed out that she looks like a Mr. Potato Head with her eyes put on upside down.
And rabbit teeth.
That's all I can see on her now is what I look at her now.
She's like a bowl.
She does.
I know.
She'll be eating someone's garden.
She's bad. Upstairs, she's bad. That helmet's horrible because her body is just smoking off the rails.
Sure.
And for me to look past, that body, her grill has to be pretty bad, and it is.
Great uniform, bad helmet.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she's always, I don't care what situation she's in on the Hills, she's always lost. I mean, you can just tell that she is a puppy who just doesn't understand the world around her.
I got to find out who's casting this movie because I would love to play a dude who murders Audrina Partridge.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be a sweet revenge.
I can get a role as a guy who hatchets her to death or something.
She was on Jerry O'Connell's TV show last night.
She was?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Do Not Disturb?
Yeah, she made it. I don't know. I didn't watch it. I just was flipping channels and I was like, what is Audrina Partridge doing on network TV? And
I love Jerry O'Connell more than I love most men.
He's awesome.
I saw the first episode of that show.
Not good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I know.
Is he, once again, like in Carpoolers, better than the material?
So much better. He's being wasted.
Way better. Oh, stop it with your Carpoolers.
I can't watch
Another guy who's always good in everything he does, David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, of course.
Is returning to the big screen. You know, last time we saw him was in the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. But yes, he's coming back to the big screen. Apparently, he will be starring in Beverly Hills Ninja 2, the sequel to the popular Chris Farley 1997 film.
Finally,
they're getting around to making that sequel we've all been waiting for.
Didn't really remember the first one, to be honest.
Apparently, Chris Farley's still in negotiations whether he will reprise his role or not. Hollywood Reporter says it does not look promising.
Yeah, someone needs to tell someone.
Apparently, he's lost a ton of weight and just doesn't look like the old Chris Farley anymore.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
So, Hoff will be in Beverly Hills Ninja 2. I hope he's the ninja. You see Hoff all draped in black, wearing ballet slippers. The greatest. Disney keeps cranking out movies now based on their theme park. That's all they got.
Well, it's
Pirates
worked.
Of the Caribbean, of course. 14. How do you complain? That was a three-movie series that made $19 billion.
Pretty much.
Yeah, the first one was good.
Hollywood Reporter says they're going to do the same thing with the Tomorrowland part of the theme park. It'll be a whole movie called Tomorrowland.
Really?
Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So I'm guessing he will be the captain of Tomorrowland, and then a little kid will show up at his doorstep, and it'll be a daughter he never knew he had, and then his heart will soften, and he'll learn an important lesson at the end of Tomorrowland. That's what
now,
I'm guessing.
Now, I'm not the Disney file that you guys are, but Tomorrowland, that's not part of the park anymore, is it?
Yeah, sure it is.
They still have it?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever been on it. Is that what happens?
Well, Tomorrowland's just described? They've broken it up into, like, Frontierland, Tomorrowland, Fantasyland. I forget what the other section is. I think there's one more.
Tomorrowland's got like Space Mountain, and Captain EO used to be there and stuff like that, right?
Right. I think the Nemo submarine ride is still there.
So it's just kind of a sci-fi
part of the park. Yeah, sort of theme, you know, Autopia. What do they call that?
Right.
The car ride.
Right.
That's
right.
There,
right.
You know. It was, and you know, in 57 or whenever the hell the place opened, that was like, ooh, land of the future.
This is what 1987 will look
yes,
like.
Yes, people will be driving around in hover cars and things like that. Now it just kind of looks like today land, basically.
Yes, exactly.
But still,
new
All
movie.
Right, so they're making a movie.
Yeah,
please enjoy. This death threat against Sir Paul McCartney, the Beatle.
Yes.
For performing in Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, terrorist organizations have targeted him and marked him for death. Well, Jerusalem Bureau Chief Aaron Klein from WorldNet Daily.
Jew.
Yeah, well, yes, he is.
Just saying, likely.
Says he, not likely.
Likely.
He is a Jew.
I don't know. I'm a judge.
Says he's been investigating the death threats and is running up against a roadblock. None of the major Palestinian terror organizations will confirm the death threat against Paul McCartney.
Come on!
Says he has called all the head honchos, and every one of them claimed never to have heard of Paul or the Beatles. Oh, come on! If you guys are trying to distance yourself from the death threat, come up with a better story than that.
I've never heard of the Beatles?
Never heard of Paul McCartney or the Beatles. Sorry, wrong number. Aaron Klein claims he even started to sing parts of a few Beatles songs.
To remind them
to
of
people
who
like
they
Islamic
are.
Jihad leader Abu Ahmed. But nothing rang any bells, he said. I want to hear that phone call, please.
Oh. No, you're not the Beatles. Yes, you're the... Come on. Hold my... I want to hold your hand. Come on. No, nothing. No, not getting... Hey, Jude, don't let... No, don't get in. Not that. No. Don't let anything. The Monkees, I know them. No, it's the Beatles. Come on.
Never heard of the Beatles.
So are we to then surmise that maybe these aren't legitimate death threats from actual organizations?
Maybe that isn't the case at all. You be the coach.
Okay. Let's just kick Miss Cleo's ass, cover our bases.
Exactly.
Time Good is idea. Now. She might She's be probably there. Involved.
Ryan O'Neal is a name that hasn't been in the news often lately.
Not too much.
He was one of the biggest movie stars in the world, believe it or not, people, in the 60s and early 70s.
Yeah.
Huge, huge movie star. Then probably got best known for stealing Farrah Fawcett away from Lee Majors. They had a relationship. They had a son named Redmond.
Yes.
Well, Redmond and Ryan are sharing some close personal father-son bonding time lately. They were both arrested by the L.A. County Sheriff's Department when they searched Ryan's Malibu home and found drugs that belonged to both Redmond and Ryan.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
Apparently, they found meth on Ryan.
Are you serious?
Yes, and also found a vial of meth in Ryan's room as well, next to his bed.
Wait, you mean they found meth on Redman and then a vial in Ryan's room?
Ryan's room, okay, yes. Gotcha. Father and son, both busted for possession.
Wasn't there an incident, Ralph, within the last year of a gunshot?
Yeah, there was gunplay at their home, yes.
Yeah, there's bad stuff. It's a healthy environment, right? There.
Ryan's
yeah.
known to be an excellent father. He once punched his son's front teeth out.
Oh, my God.
I think it was Griffin O'Neill that he punched his teeth out, so... good times wow. at the O'Neill home. They were both busted and just been released on bail for $10,000 a pop.
It looks like, though, he's cleaned up his act and he's now sharing hobbies and interests with his younger
That's
boy.
That's what I'm saying. They're spending some father and son bonding time together, which is excellent. Narcotics possession. It is sad to see a celebrity like Ryan O'Neill fall to the point where he has to use poor people drugs. You know? Couldn't
yeah,
even
no
be blow.
Kidding.
They got yeah. meth. It's kind of sad.
At his age?
They're going to throw him out of Malibu. They're going to throw him out of Malibu and say, "What? You are making Malibu look bad with your meth."
That's true.
Don't bring that in here.
And alcohol. That's all you're allowed.
Yeah, exactly. Get some good stuff, you know. Get some nitrous or something, you know.
Nitrous.
Something fun. Today's celebrity birthdays. Let's see who we got. Exhibit. He is 34 years old today. Rapper yeah! and actor. James Marsden, you remember him from the X-Men movies, also The Notebook. He was on Ally sure. McBeal. Handsome fella, that James Marsden. 35 years old today. Jada Pinkett Smith is 37. Ricky Bell of Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah.
And New Edition is 41. Holly Robinson Pete, remember her from Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Oh, yeah. Robinson. Show.
She's a good-looking broad. Mm-hmm. Right. Married Rodney Pete, former right. SC quarterback. Went on to the pros.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Played for the Eagles for a while. Yeah, he's 44 years old. She is 44 years old today. James Gandolfini. And The Sopranos is 47. Fred Willard, one of the funniest men on the planet, is 69. Robert Blake, actor.
Also one of the funniest men on the planet.
Very funny. Does tend to leave his gun behind sometimes when he has dinner.
But he goes back and gets it.
He cleans up after himself.
Absolutely.
God bless
Where's
Bobby
the downside?
Blake.
You tell me where the downside
is. There is no downside, Bob. He is 75 years old today. I got a very funny story to tell you about taking an acting class with Robert Blake. Maybe we'll do that in the next
one of
hour.
The funniest stories I've ever heard in my life.
I will tell you that story in Great. An hour when we do the next show, Bizbeat. Because at the time, Robert Blake taught me how to act.
And we'll tell you later in the show, perhaps, in honor of his birthday, about the time that Robert Blake crashed a Kevin and Bean singles party with him.
I don't know about that.
Today is Robert Blake Anecdote Day. So tune in as we recap all our memories of Robert Blake. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Seriously, Noha Loza, that's not a name. She's not even trying. What's that?
Are you sure it's
what
a
is that? No, I'm not at all.
We don't know.
Noha Loza from Seal Beach. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are this hour's winner of tickets to the sold-out Beck Show at the Hollywood Bowl this Saturday night, plus the Xbox 360 and the Rock Band 2. We got it for you every day on K-Rock at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. The woman in the mini-me sex video coming up in about a half an hour. Lisa, how'd you first hear about Mr. Richard Miles?
I think I was just perusing Yahoo News. And I came across a story about a guy who survived this recent last week's Chatsworth train accident, and turned out he'd also been in the Glendale train accident, which is he the luckiest man alive?
Or is he the least lucky man alive that he's been in two horrific train accidents, one of which, the most recent one, he broke his back?
He did.
I mean, I don't know how you look at that guy and go, hey, he's lucky.
Well, he's alive and he's going to recover.
Yeah, but he's never getting on a train again, is he?
I don't think he is. And I was saying, I think he should, because if he drives to work every day, he lives in Moore Park, and I guess he drives to L.A. If he drives to work every day, you know he's going to die in a car crash. You just know it's going to happen.
This guy is 58 years old. He's just trying to hang on to 60 so he can get a decent retirement. Yeah. He works for the L.A. Bureau of Sanitation. I think we've got a piece from the news on him.
There's one survivor who considers himself lucky to be alive twice.
Somebody's looking out for me, obviously. I am, you know, I feel blessed and lucky.
Because he was here last Friday in the second car. He was also on this 2005 Metrolink ride that killed 11 passengers in Glendale.
There's a haunting that goes along with it. Yeah. Partly, I don't know, because you survive and people didn't survive.
Appreciate what you have, says this two-time survivor.
You know, I'm going to try to make a better life. That's the minimum I think that I owe life itself.
That's what's fascinating to me, by the way, because lots of people have near-death experiences. And some people, I don't think, get changed at all. I think some people just say, well, that happened, and then they move on and their life is exactly the same. But then there are other people who I think it really does make a profound impact on, and they go, wow, now I realize how true it is that you never know when your last minute is going to be, and every minute is precious, and I really have to live life to the fullest.
It probably depends on where you are in your life at the time. I don't think it was anywhere to the extent that this guy went through, but I almost drowned when I was probably 16. That's not going to, at 16, that doesn't change your life.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to, you still got to go to school, you got to do whatever you're doing. So
right.
I think it depends on where you are in your life at the time, too.
I mean, I remember
how happy you are or not.
A few years ago when I almost lost it on the train tracks. Remember, we've told that story many times here
in
on
Norway,
the Kevin Dean
right?
Show. I was in Norway and drove onto a train track, and it was my error. It was that I didn't understand the signs, and it wasn't laid out in a way like it would be in the United States, where it would be difficult to drive onto the train tracks in a tunnel going the wrong direction.
Oh my God!
And then a train was coming, and there were a few seconds there as the train was approaching, and I pulled the car over all the way to the far to the right as I could, and just prayed that I was off the tracks. I mean, the train came within inches of me, and I exhaled pretty deeply after that train passed and I realized I was alive. But I don't remember it having a profound impact on my life. I don't remember me then waking up the next day going, wow, am I going to get the most? But I'm profoundly lazy too.
Right. You're not who's going to go, I'm going to volunteer for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I'm not the guy who's going to have the kind of impact that maybe Mr. Miles would hear. But we do want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about your near-death experience, and then we want to hear how it changed your life, what you did with it afterwards. It's such a weird coincidence that we'd be having this conversation today and talking about this train crash from last week, because it was kind of the topic of the season premiere of House that was on Tuesday night on Fox. There was a girl who came very close to dying. She had, I think I can say it now because most of you have seen the show that watch it, but her work took her to countries all around the world, and she ended up contracting leprosy and almost dying.
Wow.
And when she thought she had just narrowly escaped death, she had all these plans of what she was going to do, how she was going to quit that no good job, and she was going to go out and do something that she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ended up changing her mind at the end once she started to get better. It was just a passing phase. And one of the doctors that's treating her is talking to House about how disappointed she is that that's the decision she made.
She's going back to work for that idiot. It's pathetic.
You thought something would change?
She almost died because of that job. Yeah, I thought...
Almost dying changes nothing. Dying changes everything.
Well, it's pretty hard to argue with that, House.
It is.
I got to tell you, it is hard. Dying definitely does change things. What happened to you? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call for your near-death experience. And how did it change your life? Let's squeeze in a couple before the break. Let's try Steve in Gardena. He's on line two this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show. Near-death experience is what we're talking about. What do you got for us?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. Hi, Steve.
When I was 4 years old, I was at Butterfield Stage with some friends near Elsinore. All my cousins and family were climbing a hill. My cousin got to the top, pushed off a huge boulder. It ended up rolling over my leg, just missed my head.
Oh.
They destroyed my leg. It's okay now. I mean, I just have a huge scar.
How old were you then?
I was 4 years old.
Okay, so that there's no bigger implication of that. That's just, I got hurt and now I feel better. You don't change your life at four, right?
I got a couple more.
You got
okay,
more?
Go ahead.
Yeah, when I was 12 years old, I was riding my bike, came around a blind side of a corner, and a van was going a little too fast and nailed me, put me in a coma for a week or so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, real lucky to have survived that one, be alive. But that, again, I was 12 years old, not
right.
a real big thing.
Right.
When I was 27.
Why does Jesus hate you so much?
I don't know what it is, man. Everyone talks about, thank God. I don't know. Doesn't seem like he really likes me that much.
Like you're lucky. So what happened when you were 27?
I was going to a friend's party at night, and a guy was racing another friend, ran a red light doing 80 miles an hour, T-boned me. I ended up being in a coma for 3 weeks, having 106-degree temperature, collapsed lungs, the works.
Wow.
Yeah, all the neurosurgeons were telling my friends and my family, my mom, that I was going to be dead, that there was really not much hope for me, but I'm still here.
So has all of this changed your life in any way?
That one did big time. That one really, really made me appreciate my life.
And what do you do differently once you came out of that coma and nursed yourself back to health? What did you do differently?
I would do things by myself, no matter what it was. I would go out, whether friends would go with me or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'd dance like crazy. I loved to dance, but I just really started dancing everywhere. And I don't know if it was it was a self-confidence or what, but meeting
you just women, decided, look, I got nothing to lose. I could die at any minute. If I want to dance, I'm going to dance.
Exactly, man, exactly. And, you know, I'd meet girls, and actually I wouldn't try to pick up on girls. They would, you know, come to me, and I know that sounds kind of egotistical, but that's just the way it works.
But you're displaying some sort of confidence now.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
what's the worst that can happen, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Even look, if a girl says no, that's still a better day than getting hit by a car and ending up in a coma.
You can't die dancing, I don't think.
All right. Well, listen, I do know, Steve, that I am not going anywhere with you. I'm not going anywhere near you. I'm not hanging out with you. You sound like a guy who is always 5 minutes away from getting hit by lightning, dude.
Yeah, but I always come through it. So what's that?
Yeah, I know. All right. It's weird. Thank you very much for the call. See, that's what honks a guy like Steve up, and what honks this Richard Miles up, because you look for some sort of reason. I mean, there are, you know, many people, maybe most in this country, do believe that there's a God and do believe that there's a plan. And a guy like Richard Miles, how much would that F with your head to try to figure out what the plan is? Like, why put me in two serious train crashes, or why give Steve three near-death experiences before the age of 28 years old?
And I was wondering,
what does it mean?
Yeah, the pressure that you would feel, because he said, I don't know, I feel like I owe life. I need to do something. Like, the pressure you would feel to be the best person you can be and to do charity work and all that stuff has got to be tremendous when you've survived two accidents where people have died.
Yeah, he wakes up the next day and feels like he can't just go about his regular day. He feels like he's got to do something extraordinary. Let's do one more before the break, and we are going to get to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's hear Jacqueline's story real quick in Ontario. She's on line 6. Hey, Jacqueline, thanks for calling
Kevin
Meacham.
Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning. What happened
to you? Buenos dias. Well, I went into cardiac arrest when I had my son. It was an emergency C-section.
Yeah.
And when I went into cardiac arrest, I literally heard the flat line. I heard the doctors trying to struggle to bring me back. They cut my ankle just to try to see to put the IV back in, and they couldn't do it. They did the whole bolts, and they did everything, and I heard everything going on.
No
and it was
kidding.
Just, it was incredible. I saw a light too far away, but I could hear everything going on behind me. You know,
they brought you back, and
yes.
You recovered completely?
Yes. Well, I get chest pains here and there, but
okay.
Hey, I mean, my son's alive and I'm alive. I mean, what more can I ask for?
Right.
Even though it was the doctor's fault, which I, you know, I'm not going to mention what hospital it was, but I couldn't ask for more. You know, my
did,
son's alive.
Obviously, it was already the happiest day of your life anyway, you know, having the little bambino there.
I was 20 years old. I mean,
did it change you in any other way besides the fact that you appreciate that you're alive to see your son grow up? Did anything else change in your mindset?
Well, I was a party animal. I mean, I settled down. I, you know, went to school. I got a great job now. You know, I'm doing great. My son's doing, you know, he goes to a private school.
Okay.
I'm doing much better. I mean, if that would have not happened to me, I wouldn't have thought straight in life, you know.
And
partying. And,
have you also made the decision no more children?
Yes, actually, no more.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't go there again.
Who would have ever thought that cardiac arrest would be the best thing that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but now you know what? I have chest pain, so I don't know. I guess.
We'll get those checked out,
I'm
Jacqueline.
All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks.
Have a good day. 1-800-520-1067. Near-death experience. What's your story? What happened? How did it change you? Your call's after this on... Die! How weird that we're playing Let It Die when we're talking about this topic this morning. It's the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We're talking about near-death experiences. That poor guy who was on the train crash last week in the Valley was also on the other train crash from about 3 years ago in Glendale.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's learned to... Learn to appreciate his life and make every day count. We're talking about your near-death experiences and how it changed your life. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with, let's talk to Ken. He's on line 3 in Covina. Hi, Ken. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the Kevin Bean Show. What happened to you,
Ken?
Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I was 210 westbound on the morning of November 27th, right after Thanksgiving, on my motorcycle, about 60 miles an hour into the back of a pickup truck.
Ouch.
How'd that happen? Yeah.
The guy in front of me wasn't paying attention. Traffic had stopped. He crashed into the car in front of him at 50. No warning. Brake lights weren't working.
He got cited by the highway patrol for it. They shut the freeway down. I got airlifted to USC. Broke my femur in two places, shattered my elbow, broke my humerus, broke all the bones in my hand. My heart separated from my aortic arch. I broke four ribs, collapsed both my lungs, and dislocated my kneecap.
But other than that, how was your drive to work that day?
Pretty quick.
How long were you in the hospital, Ken?
I was in the hospital for 32 days.
Jeez.
I was in ICU for 17 days. For the first 8 days, they told my parents and my fiance and my kids that I wasn't going to make it. Every night for 8 days, they said I wouldn't be there in the morning.
My God.
Wow. Now, of course, there are two ways to look at it. Either you're the luckiest sumbitch in the world for surviving it, or God hates you and you're cursed, and that's why he put you through it. Which do you subscribe to?
I think I'm probably the luckiest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Really? Now, how does something like that change your life once you realize I made it through that and now I'm still alive? What do you do with the rest of your life?
I stopped taking so many risks. I sold I had two motorcycles. One of them is scrap metal now. You can pick it up with a shovel at your local dealer.
Yeah.
And the other one I'm in the process of selling. I'm also a police officer on a SWAT team, so I'm kind of sitting back a little bit with that. Not
yeah, that's
so rough.
Kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I figure my life is dangerous enough as it is at work.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
So you're keeping that job, though? You're still a SWAT team member?
I'm actually at work right now.
Because that's the type of thing where you, by definition of your job, put yourself in life or death situations every time you show up for work.
Well, after 4 years in the Marines, this kind of like the next step.
Yeah. So would you say that overall there was quite a change in your attitude having gone through that experience?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't been working any overtime. My kids are my first priority. I go home.
Yeah.
You know, every day straight after work, it's straight home, play with the kids, throw them all around, bicycle.
Did you ever marry the fiance?
I was working on that. Still in process.
Gotcha. All right, man. Glad you called. Glad you're okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, dude. Jake is in L.A. He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jake, we're talking about the near-death experiences. It's a light, happy topic this morning.
It is.
What's going on, Jake?
Alive and they're talking to us. So.
Yeah, that's true. What happened to you, dude?
All right. So in 96, I got in a car wreck, took a truck off of a bridge and dropped about 30 feet, landed upside down, broke my neck. But it didn't show up in the x-rays when I went to the emergency room. So I walked around for almost 5 months with a broken neck. Just really couldn't figure out why I wasn't dead or paralyzed.
Oh, my God.
But doesn't a broken neck hurt so bad that you couldn't walk around and not need medical attention?
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, it hurt, and I told them it hurt, but they said, wow, you've got pulled muscles. You're really lucky. Have a nice day. And so I went about my life, and, you know, it got better, but it never got back to okay. And so I was functional, but it just always hurt. And that's why I finally went back to the doctor 5 months later, and they took x-rays. And by that point, it was really obvious that I had snapped off this little piece of bone that your skull rotates on.
Oh, my God.
Ouch.
So I have a metal rod in my neck now that connects my top four vertebrae and the base of my skull.
Did it change your life, having a near-death experience?
Yeah, after that, I got, like, really religious, was a straight-laced kid, you know, didn't drink, didn't party, I was into sports and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then in 99, I went to New Orleans and tried to break up a fight and got a beer bottle broke over my head. And when I went down, they started kicking and it fractured my skull. And I got a blood clot in my brain about the size of a fist and had to have emergency brain surgery.
What? Okay, you're just honked up. You should take your own life, dude.
Yeah, after that one, I kind of said, you know, I was doing the right stuff, so why is stuff still happening? And so I went off the deep end and turned into a pretty solid drunk for about 3 years.
No kidding.
Didn't really care about anything, but then finally met a cool chick and got out of Missouri and moved out here and got my stuff together. So now I'm trying to learn how to live life to the full. Do that.
Wow.
That's the problem. He lived in Missouri. You know.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. I'm glad it's going a little bit better for you. That's too much. That's too much to go through,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. We got, by the way, the young model slash actress Renee Schreider in the Mini-Me sex tape we're going to be talking to coming up here in a couple minutes, so we don't have as much time for this as I'd like. I do want to squeeze in Lee from Huntington Beach real quick because this is totally different from the other calls we've taken so far. Hi, Lee. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What was your near-death experience?
Good morning. I was jogging in my track in Huntington Beach at 6 o'clock at night, totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I got attacked by a man, and his intent—it was attempted rape and murder. And luckily, at that particular moment, a mother was taking her son to karate practice, and opened the door. So the guy had maybe 30 seconds, like, beating me up. And, of course, I was knocked unconscious. I don't remember anything. And it scared the guy away. And I was in intensive care for about 4 days.
Mm.
And all
so you were you were really so lucky that that other person came along.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That mother happened to be opening the door at the right time and scared that guy away. And all the other girls that the guy had attacked, he was caught a year later. And all the other girls that he had attacked, he had raped them and beat them so severely and left them there to die.
Oh, my God.
Dude, wow.
I bet you've changed the patterns of your life. Like, you don't go out and jog.
For sure. Like, I'm very careful. I look at all my surroundings. Yes. Of course, I was listening to my iPod. So to all the women out there, when you're out in public at night, dark, even during the day, it doesn't matter. You need to be paying attention to your surroundings.
Yeah, that's good advice.
This is why I tell you people exercise is no good.
How
many times have you heard me say you shouldn't leave your house because bad stuff happens? All right, Lee, thank you for the call. That was
creepy.
Good morning.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. That's all the strength I have for this topic. But, man, we got so many calls.
We had more calls, too. Yeah.
Who knew so many people had the near-death experiences? We need to forget about all of that and talk Mini-Me sex tape when we return right after this on the world-famous K-Rush. I can't get over how big tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show is already shaping up to be, guys. Did you know that we're talking to the birthday boy tomorrow? TV's Adam West.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
How about that?
Somehow I knew it. I knew that.
Mr. West is 80 tomorrow. We'll be talking to him. And it's not only that. We have a musical guest this close to being lined up. I can't say no more because Alex yells if we promote it and it's not confirmed. But it looks very, very good for tomorrow morning, the 8 o'clock hour. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel is going to be joining us tomorrow. We'll catch up with the original creators of Talk Like a Pirate Day on tomorrow morning's show. How about that? We got them on the show. And, of course, if you want to contribute to the party for Talk Like a Pirate Day, you can give us a call on the Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. We're taking your messages and jokes and pirate-related activities all day long on the Afro line. We'll be playing it back tomorrow morning.
How great is it that Adam West has a birthday the same day as Talk Like a Pirate Day? It may be the greatest day of the year.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, screw Christmas. That's what I've always said.
Yeah, me too. F Christmas. Been saying it my whole life.
Now, you guys, while I was on vacation, you guys had a conversation I was not a part of, and I very much wanted to be, because I guess there was a riff in the office about who wanted to see the Mini-Me sex tape. Am I right, Ralph?
No, we all wanted to see it, but many of us realized that it wasn't available on the internet. We could not find it, but Kevin would not rest.
He was obsessed with finding it, right?
He went after it like the knights went after the Holy Grail during the Crusade. He just refused to believe that he couldn't get it.
How much he wanted to see that.
And so he searched so deep in the world of internet porn that eventually it infected the King of Mexico's computer to the point where the computer literally flipped Dave off and then just laid down and died. That's how
I heard there were so many viruses on his computer. This is not a joke. That it affected our podcasts being uploaded to iTunes. Screwed with the podcast. That's how it affected his computer.
Jeff, our IT guy, who has been in the computer industry forever, said it is the most viruses he had ever seen in one computer and the most punishing viruses he'd ever had to deal with. He had to get an exorcist to actually get all the viruses out of the computer.
Those viruses are in no way a reflection on the people who were involved in the tape, which, of course, is actor Vern Troyer, who's best known as Mini-Me in the Austin Powers movie and the Love Guru movie, and model actress Renee Schreider, who's the young lady in the tape, who joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, along with her attorney, Holly Donahue Bannon, who is here on the phone with us. Good morning, Renee. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
And Holly, I understand you're there too for backup, right?
Good morning. I'm actually not her attorney. I'm her manager, but she does have an attorney. She does have a wonderful attorney.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure is listening this very second.
I'm sure she is.
Behave ourselves.
Now, I'll ask you then, Holly, why would an attorney be concerned about this phone call? Is there stuff that we're not allowed to talk about?
There's things we're not allowed to talk about because Vern is suing again for $20 million. He already sued somebody, a bunch of people dropped it, and then is suing a bunch of more people. So we have to be careful.
But as far as you're concerned, the tape is legal to be distributed and is available for sale on sexwithminime.com, right?
No, it's not legal.
No, not legal.
What is the legal situation, Holly, with the tape?
Sorry?
What is the legal situation with the tape? What's going on as of now?
It's we were hit up with this. I mean, we didn't. It was as big a surprise to us when it came out as it was to everyone else. It was. The rumor is it's off the coast of China somewhere. That's what people have told me. But that's about as much as we know about it, to be honest with you, okay. at this point in time. So, but I'll tell you if you. I mean, we can give you the number to the attorney if you want to speak to him directly.
Okay. Well,
probably more details than we can.
I don't want to, by the way, all the good stuff on the internet is off the coast of China anyway, so that's all I need to know. But I just don't want to get Renee in trouble because we're very grateful that she's agreed to come on. So let's talk about you, Renee. So this wasn't a Hollywood hookup. You and Mr. Troyer, you guys had a relationship of some seriousness for some time, right?
Yeah, we lived together. And, I don't really... like judge anybody by what they look like. I try to see them as a person. And for a while, he was a really nice person, and I could be myself around him. Like if I, didn't feel like brushing my teeth or whatever, he didn't care. He would still kiss me. So
oh,
well, sure. Wow. Look at you and look at him.
Well, you know what? That.
You could have come up and said, "I just murdered a dude." And you're like, "Well, all right, I got to forgive you because you're hot.
You're kind of hot, right?"
He'd still love me.
Hey, Renee, there's so many fascinating aspects to this story because everybody knows Vern Troyer in the movies. But, I mean, the dude is not just little. I mean, he's one of the smallest people in the world. He's 2'8". Logistically, is that difficult to date somebody of that size?
In the beginning, I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. And so since I didn't know what to do, I just handled it like he's 39 years old. He's been doing this his entire life.
Right.
I figure if he needed help with anything, he would ask me. I would never like be like, "Oh, can I help you? Or do you need this? Should I get it for you?" I would just assume that he could get it for himself, and he would. If he needed something, he would use a stool and find a way to get it. And you know, when you give him a hug and stuff, you do have to kneel down and give him a hug. But normally, we would just. Sit in chairs, and when you're sitting in chairs, you're kind of eye level. Mm-hmm. And when we would go to restaurants, you know, he would sit on something so we could be eye level. So I didn't really, notice.
So most of the time that you guys would spend together was not all that dissimilar from other boyfriends that you've had in the past.
Oh, not at all. We were very boring, actually.
Yeah, I got
you.
We
would watch TV or just chill at home, and I would attempt to cook.
Now it sounds like that at least for a while before the relationship turned sour, it sounded like you really liked the dude. You guys ended up moving in together. Were you sexually attracted to Vern Troyer?
That's a no.
Asked and answered, I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. This is really hard. He's already mad at me. Not necessarily, but it's like, I mean, I was attracted enough for him to kiss him, but we didn't have sex as much as people thought because it was so
complicated.
It was different for me.
Sure. Yeah. So did you kind of, the times that you did have sex with him, was it because it was something he really wanted to do and you're just trying to please him because he was kind of your boyfriend?
In a way, yeah. But there would be other ways that he could please me.
Right. Sure.
I don't know. Is this like 18 or older, so? Like, what am I allowed to say?
Not much.
We get it.
Yeah, I understand.
We get what you're saying.
Yeah, we understand what you're saying. Okay, so was it a fairly common practice between you guys to videotape the sex?
No. We videotaped it once, but we did discuss, like, retaping it and stuff like that.
Doing a second take?
There is... We never got around to it, but we talked about, I mean, we did watch the videos.
Right. So you make the video, and then suddenly the video is out there for public consumption. How did that happen, Renee?
I can't talk about it. You'll have to ask my lawyer about it, but...
Okay. Can you, I assume that you're okay with it being out there and available. Otherwise, you wouldn't be agreeing to go on a radio show like this one to essentially promote it, right?
Well, I mean, it's out there, and this story has been happening since, like, June. So I'm finally to the point where it's like, you just have to learn to make fun of yourself. You know, like, who cares? Like,
if I could say something as well, I think for me as her manager, you know, having her on something like this allows people to see, I would prefer people see her more human side, the fact that she had a, because people make lots of assumptions. They think, oh, she's a gold digger, she's this, she's that. She also has a lot of fans, believe it or not. She has loads and loads of people who write to her constantly. But we like for people to see that Renee's just a normal girl. She's funny. She's witty. She's had a, you know, she was in a relationship with something. Her and her boyfriend did something together that lots of people do together. Mm-hmm. Just problem
yes,
is
certainly.
Because
yeah,
he is
he's a
big celebrity.
Oh, Bean has volumes and volumes of sex tapes. Yes,
I can honestly say that one of the Kevin and Bean rules in the master plan on this show, Renee, is to never videotape yourself having sex. And we've said that for years and years and years in this program. And by the way, seriously, we've said that because you don't look as good as you think you do. And it's going to get out somehow. And time again, we're being proved right.
You know, it's funny that you would say that. I've always maintained the whole time. I'm going, Mr. Troy was a 20-year veteran of the entertainment industry who made a sex video with a 22-year-old girl he'd only known for 3 months. And it was a surprising thing even to me when I first found out about it. But, I mean, I guess a lot of people do it. And they
of course.
Did live together and they did care about each other. And it just... You know, it's just unfortunate of the circumstances, but, you know, basically we really would want Renee to be able to move on for this and for people to understand that she's just a girl that got caught up in some stuff.
Right.
You know,
Renee, why is it you are referred to as a model actress? What is going on in the rest of your life beyond Vern Troyer that we don't know about?
I do not model. Okay. I don't have, I would fall on a runway. And I close my eyes in every single picture. So I'm definitely not someone you want to hire if you want to model. But I do enjoy acting because, you know, you can be, like, different characters and you can do stuff that you'd never be able to, like, do in real life.
Right,
and she's professionally trained. She's been doing this for years. I mean, long before she met Mr. Troyer, she's been working as a theatrical and commercial actress. So
I see.
And she presently trains under Ivana Chubbuck out here. I mean, she's very... You know, she's very dedicated.
Mm-hmm. Are you dating anyone right now, Renee?
I've gone on dates, but nobody, like, worth my time.
Is it a deal breaker in conversation when they find out that you were with Mini-Me?
Well,
does that scare anyone off?
You go on a date, and they're like, so what's Vern like? Like, I love his movies. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can give you his number, and you can go out to dinner with him. Like, you know, it's just kind of like my whole date is all about, oh, would you kiss me that way? And I can make a lizard tongue.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, you can make the lizard tongue, then we got a second date.
The little clip that they had up on TMZ.com of him with the lizard tongue was one of the most troubling things I've ever seen. I mean, I almost literally had nightmares after seeing that. I can't imagine being the other person in that frame.
Well, you know what, like, Harvey has a sense of humor. I love Harvey. I know he was on your show yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he picked the best clip there was. It's funny.
Okay.
And if you can't find it as, I mean, I think it's funny. And he did kiss me that way. And I, you know, I kind of backed up and laughed when it was supposed to be romantic, but I started laughing instead.
I can certainly understand why. Now, Ralph, you may have seen more, read more about the tape than I have. I mean, is it pretty much everything you would expect of a regular sex video? I mean, it's all happening on the tape?
I've only seen the clips that were available online, sort of the teaser clips. I have not seen the entire footage. I don't know if anyone has. I don't know if it's available or not.
Because a lot of times, Renee, people will market these sex tapes, and I'm not suggesting that that's what you're doing, but then people will buy it, and it will turn out to be not what we hoped. I mean, is there full-on sex between you and Vern Troyer shown in video? Okay.
It's porn.
Okay. Right, okay. Great. So that sounds like, you know, the holidays are coming up. There's going to be someone on your list who's going to want that. I mean, I don't know how you can go wrong with this as a gift.
Now,
I know.
Regarding
and Britney Spears' album coming out, it's going to be a great
It's a great stocking stuffer.
Sure. Yeah.
Regardless of the legality of the tape as it stands now, should the tape become commercially available, will you be making money off of it, Renee?
question for the lawyer.
No, we don't know.
You don't know whether you're going to make money off the tape or not.
We don't have, I mean, at this point, we don't have any offers, that's for sure. I mean, it's just, when Sex with Mini-Me dropped, we were just given a phone call by someone who saw the address on TMZ.
So there's no deal in place with you or any production or distribution?
Well, not that I'm aware of. So, I mean, it'd be the type of thing that they would definitely...
I'm not making any money.
Okay.
They would definitely go through our attorney for something like that, not us. So.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right, listen, we're almost out of time, Renee. Do you regret the relationship with Mini-Me?
No, I don't regret it. I'm glad that I got out of it when I did, and I think that I maybe should have gotten out of it sooner.
Yeah.
But I don't regret it. It was a time in my life, and I'll learn from it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bean.
I was just saying. So overall, you look back, when you look back at all your relationships, that's one that you kind of chalk up to. You're glad it happened. It was a positive for you. You don't regret it. It was okay.
Yeah, it was good. And honestly, this is going to sound weird, but I'm only 22. But it was probably my most serious, because I've never lived with a boyfriend, and he had never lived with anybody that he had dated, and so it got pretty serious pretty quick. But we liked each other, I guess. We hate each other now, but we did like each other at one point.
Okay. I hear that midgets bite sometimes. Is that true, or is that just urban legend?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, I mean, my ankles are like...
That's what I figured. Totally. That's what I was afraid of. Yeah.
Renee, since if we never see the tape, there's a question I guess is going through a lot of people's mind, is that Vern, is he proportionate in every area of his anatomy? Or is he under or oversized in any particular area, to be delicate?
Proportionate.
He's proportionate. Okay, okay, that's not what we were curious about.
Yeah.
So he's not a human tripod or anything.
No.
Okay, just fair enough.
All right, well, good.
We all wish he was. Trust me.
Sure, certainly.
For other reasons.
So, Ralph, I'm so glad you thought of that question, because that would be the one thing that people would want to know here in this interview. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, Renee. Well, listen, we appreciate you coming on. You do sound like a fun chick, although you ought to make it a habit to brush your teeth just for your own well-being, regardless of what kind of relationship you're in. And manager Holly Donahue-Bannon, thank you for joining us, too. We wish both of you the best of luck. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Beach Show at K-Rock.
Thank you for having us.
Ralph's got the showbiz beat right now. What's going on, Ralph?
Lindsay Lohan wants to have a baby.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Star Magazine reports that Linz is feeling very maternal lately and has told girlfriend Samantha Ronson she wants to have a baby with her.
Yeah.
That's great idea, Lindsay Lohan. I think you should have several. And what's wrong with you? Apparently, Sam's brother Mark Ronson may be the guy to help their baby dreams come true,
yes!
According to this story. So if you're Mark Ronson, you scored!
Yeah.
So
listen,
wait.
Lindsay wants to have a baby. Mark, could you help us with that?
Yeah.
Sure.
I had a couple of my friends over and, you know.
Airtight.
If Lindsay has sex with a dude, I think she'll forget all about Samantha. I don't think she's going back to Samantha.
Yeah, they are taking chances here.
I think Lindsay's had sex with some dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Since she's been with Samantha, you think?
Not since,
but I think she knows her way around.
Yeah.
The block,
sure.
Or something that rhymes with a block.
Yeah.
And I think she's made a decision at this point. Yeah, around a sock, Mike. That's what I'm getting at. Gary Coleman was in court yesterday when he was formally charged with reckless driving and disorderly conduct. This all stems from an incident that happened on September the 6th outside a bowling alley in Utah. And I've said it 100 times, nothing ever good happens outside a bowling alley, especially in Utah.
Yeah,
I know how it is.
A fan was harassing Gary, the fan, Colt Rushton. Kept trying to take his photo with his cell phone. Gary got into it with Colt Rushton and ran over him. As he backed his truck out of the parking space outside the bowling alley.
Oops.
Now, Colt Rushton, of course, very popular fast lane actor, right? Why wasn't Gary Coleman trying to get his picture?
No, people always remember Colt Rushton when Lee Majors portrayed him on The Fall Guy. That's what they know Colt Rushton for.
I see. Yeah.
Gary is looking at some time if he's convicted on these charges.
Wow. He won't survive prison.
He'd go over well in prison.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's too fragile. He's too fragile for prison.
He'd be used as currency.
I'll give you
a pack of cigarettes and a pack of Coleman. What do you say?
The girls next door are all getting their own TV shows.
Come on.
Ever watch that show on E! With Holly and Bridget and Kendra?
Sadly, yes.
As they live with the Hef in the big mansion?
Yeah.
According to the news, they will probably all get their spinoffs from the popular reality show. And apparently that show isn't going anywhere either. So we might get New Girls Next Door with Hef, and then Holly and Bridget and Kendra will all have their own individual shows.
Oh, thank God. I've been waiting for that.
I think E! Should do nothing but just televise everyone who lives with Hefner and everyone that they know and just make it the Hef Channel. Just that.
Are those girls, I don't follow their show, are they popular enough? Do they have their own fan bases
in order to
translate to a show?
The show and the girls are very popular. So, I don't know if it would be interesting at all.
None of them are interesting at all, together.
The show, the focus of the show is the three of them interacting and basically just, you know, going where Hef goes. That's sort of the interesting part, is what Hef does and where he goes and what he does.
And the promotional stuff that goes on for the mansion and revolving around the mansion.
Right, then throwing parties and whatnot. That's the stuff. I don't want to see Kendra, you know, sitting in an apartment at Van Nuys.
Cheering on the Chargers.
Right, checking the box scores after a game. See how the Chargers did.
There is a new way to get a facial.
And Eva Mendes,
yes,
has been a very busy girl. She tells a reporter in England that she's had sex in all 50 states.
Woo! STDs!
It's good to have goals.
I, however, have only had sex in one state, that being inebriation.
Yeah.
Apparently, she says, most of the action took place when she was on a road trip when she was much younger. I guess she worked her way across the country. The best action, she claims, took place in Arizona and Colorado. Apparently, it was John McCain in Arizona, Colorado.
Kobe Bryant on vacation.
Kobe Bryant on vacation. She said she'd like to have a do-over in Alaska because apparently that didn't go so well. So maybe Sarah Palin can get lucky. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Exhibit is 34 years old today. James Marsden, actor from The X-Men, The Notebook, Ally McBeal. That goofy princess movie that was so popular a couple months ago. The hell was that? Enchanted.
Enchanted,
yeah. Oh, right.
35 years old today. Jada Pinkett Smith turns 37. Ricky Bell of Belle Biv DeVoe is 41. James Gandolfini turns 47. Fred Willard is 69. Robert Blake, legendary actor and one-time accused murderer, is 75 years old today. And we don't have time. We don't have time for my Robert Blake.
Oh.
Next hour,
next
for
hour,
sure.
Next you hour, I will, we'll tell some Robert Blake stories, I promise. I'm Ralph Garman.
You guys ready for an instant request?
Always.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request.
Instant request.
K-Rock listener Scott writes in, hey guys, here's my Kevin and Bean instant request. I'd like to hear, now follow this because there's a lot of moving parts here.
Right,
I'd like
on,
to hear.
Let me draw a diagram.
All right. Okay. Scott says he would like to hear Hulk Hogan being interviewed on the Petros and Hillary Swank morning show.
Wow.
So he's
Hillary
asking
and
for a
Swank
lot.
And Petros Papadakis to have their own morning show, and then special guest is Hulk Hogan.
Yes, that is a request of Mr. Scott Tipton, who has emailed us. I know it sounds like an awful lot to ask for, but we're going to give it a try right now on K-Rock.
It's the Petros and Hillary show. Mindless chatter. That's not compelling or entertaining.
Petros and Hillary on K-Rock.
Good morning, everyone. This is Hillary Swank.
And just like Zeus and his brother Hades came down from the mountains of Vesuvius into the underworld, we are here to rock your minds on the radio airwaves.
You're listening to Petros and Hillary, and we're here on September the 18th with the Petros and Hillary Show.
That's right. Later on today, we're going to have Pete Carroll talking about balling like a real G up here in Southern California. But right now, we gotta welcome a very special guest, a legend.
He is a legend. He's an actor. He's also a wrestler. He's very famous. He's the host of American Gladiators. And he is just a super, super guest to have. Please welcome our good friend, Mr. Hulk Hogan.
Hey, guys. I'm Hulk Hogan. Stay with me for the next half hour. I'm going to show you my latest invention, Hulk Hogan's Ultimate Grill. Brother, you were the one that I was supposed to have a match with a couple of weeks ago, and you put the rock in your place, brother. Hulkamania is the strongest force in the universe.
The Hulkster's in the house.
It's you and me, brother.
Check him out, check him out.
So what you gonna do
when the going gets tough? The tough get.
brother.
It's got to be the only show where the host could beat the crap out of the gladiators themselves.
I am a real American.
Brother.
Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
From the WWE, the one and only Hulk Hogan.
Please welcome. Hey, Petros. Please welcome Hulk Hogan. Hi, Hulkster.
Hi, Hillary. Hi, Petros. Great to be with you, brother. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, Hulk.
Petros.
Yuck.
And Hillary.
And double yuck. Yuck. Yuck.
Not much the president could say, listing the steps taken to shore up the investment and banking economy, including international lines of credit the U.S. and other central banks arranged last night.
The American people can be sure we will continue to act to strengthen and stabilize our financial markets and improve investor confidence.
And that was it. Stocks did open higher this morning.
Fire department, Fair Meadow 58. What's the address of the emergency?
Metrolink on the defensive. They say they could have afforded positive train controls, but that safety technology really isn't ready yet. Others say, yes, it is. We're hearing the 911 tapes from last Friday when 25 died.
Tell me, what is it that you see exactly?
They're on the Metrolink train, and a freight train collided. The Metrolink train has derailed. There are people screaming.
As Wall Street wobbles, your drug dollars are well invested, financing huge operations like the Gulf Cartel. 175 suspects busted. More are sought, based around Atlanta.
Vehicles with very sophisticated concealed compartments.
Tons of weed, speed, meth, and coke. Three senor big leaders are still on the lam. Dodgers and the Angels lost. 70-90 later, 65 at K-Rock, I'm Doc on the Rock.
The problem is now people are going to want Petros and Hillary every day. I mean, that's a much better show than the Kevin and Bean show.
It certainly is. Very listenable.
It's 8:25 on K-Rock Afro time. We are turning over the Kevin and Bean Afro line starting right now, by the way, to the Talk Like a Pirate Day hotline. As you know, tomorrow is the happiest day of the year. It is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. So if you've got pirate jokes you want us to include on tomorrow morning's festivities, you can call. Lisa, what's that number again for the Afro line for pirate jokes?
1-800-5.
Nope. No. 323.
323. 520-AFRO.
There you go. That's not too bad.
Sounds like something dying, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Our ratings.
In the meantime, though, Afro calls on other topics. The Sarah Palin controversy will not die.
You can put lipstick on a pig, and it's still going to be a pig. You can put lipstick on Psycho Mike, and he's still going to be a freaking douche.
Maybe I understand the sentiment where he's coming from. Maybe not very well thought out. Here's an Afro call where I think the caller just kind of ran out of steam a little bit halfway through.
Kevin and me.
All right.
Appreciate the effort. Megan Fox update.
Kevin and me, do you see the new Maxwell? Megan Fox, stupid, scandalous, eh?
Nice.
Stronglywordedletter.com, I don't know if you guys have talked about this or not, is currently on hiatus, taking a little bit of a break. And believe it or not, there is at least one blog reader out there who's sad about it.
I miss Tater Tot Fridays.
Thank you, my dear. Aww. I appreciate that. Here's K-Rock Lister, who's been doing nothing apparently but for the last 5 days but listening to the new Metallica Death Magnetic. Fan of Lisa May's here?
Question for Lisa May. Lisa May, where do you get off? Just wondering.
Yeah.
Well done.
And I think some good advice for all of our listeners.
Yep, I got a message for all you trailer-living, NASCAR-loving, white trash mother effer rednecks. Stop it.
That's excellent advice right there, by the way. Hard to believe, yet another call on Megan Fox.
Megan Fox is so hot, I drag my balls across a mile and a half of broken glass just to hear her fart through a walkie-talkie. Megan Fox.
Mike, I think your theory is right, too, that Megan Fox's farts probably make the world smell better.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's probably true.
There's ample scientific proof that they smell like vanilla extract
it's
and cinnamon.
Science.
Yep.
Sure. Here's an early call, a listener who's jumping ahead toward the holiday tomorrow.
What does a pirate say when he has a heart attack? Arr, me hearty!
Lister apparently aware that my favorite TV show of all time is Hawaii Five-O, called and left this tribute.
Bean, 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 bean,
323-520-AFRO is the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. Speaking of songs you like, here's one more call.
Oh my gosh, Kevin and Bean, that White Pants song was hilarious. I almost crash when I'm driving to work.
Her trousers are white, that means that tonight I'm gaining access to that forbidden tunnel of love. You can't deny it, you wanna try it. Your pants let me know that I can try you on like a glove. Find yourself a pillow and bite it. You hold the white pants, you can't hide it. And gay dudes really seem to like it, so just pretend you're in jail. White pants, you're offering up your backside. White pants, you're giving your core up to me. Look, this isn't hearsay, rumor or myth. No, it's proven science. It's like a bullseye drawn on your brown eye. An invitation to tee off on hole number two. Nothing you can do can prevent me from trying out your alternate entry. The message that your white pants sent me is, come on cowboy, it's on. Girl, what's the matter? You're serving poo-poo platter. When I see your pants are white, that's right. White pants, you're offering up your backside. White pants, you're giving your core up to me. Look, this isn't hearsay, rumor or myth. No, it's proven science.
White pants, white pants, white pants, white pants.
I couldn't be more excited about my new favorite guy in the world, the Honorable James David Manning, Ph.D. We brought him to you briefly early in the week, but now we've got a little bit more time to explore what he's all about. He is a minister at a church in New York City, and for those of you who think that Barack Obama has the black vote nailed, he doesn't have Mr. Manning's vote. He is very, very much against Barack Obama, and he is not afraid to spread the word about it. You're going to think we're making this up, but it's for reals, and you can see the video on the front page of KROQ.com in the Kevin and Bean section. Here's a little bit of what Pastor Manning has to say about Barack and his family.
Post this up on your evening broadcast. Obama's mama was trash. Obama mama got pregnant with him out of wedlock. That's right. And Obama's mama was only 17 years old when she got knocked up by that African over there in Kenya.
Now, I think what's going on with the pastor is when he posted this on September 3rd, it was right in the thick of what's up with Sarah Palin and her 17-year-old knocked up pregnant daughter, right?
Right.
And I think he felt that many in the media were being hypocritical by not by railing on the Palin family and not giving it equally to Barack Obama for his mom.
May I just say that Barack Obama had no control over his mom prior to his birth, unlike Sarah Palin, who is raising the child who is now pregnant. There might be just a slight difference here.
That doesn't matter to Pastor Manning. He goes on.
And the difference between Obama's mama and Bristol Palin is that Obama's mama was trash. I mean, she was dirt. She was a bag of trash sitting on the sidewalk waiting there in Honolulu on one of those streets for the garbage truck to come by and pick her up and take her to the dump. Rather than the garbage truck coming by, a man named Obama... Barack Obama Sr. from Kenya. He had children. I'm talking about Obama. You see that boy y'all talking about? Y'all want to be President Barack Hussein Obama? His daddy was a pathetic alcoholic. Couldn't keep a job, knocking up women all over the Kenyan village of Africa. That's Obama's father.
Why hasn't Fox News hired this guy yet, by the way?
That's a good question.
I would so watch his show. Are you kidding me? He has more to say about Barack Obama's mama, the type of woman that would lay down with a black man back in the day when she did. He was very, very disappointed by that. And I don't know. I mean, you need to be some sort of psychiatrist to find why that bothers him so much. But he had lots to say about it.
My mama told me back in the 50s and the 60s, the only kind of white woman that would take up with a black man back in the 50s and the 60s was a trashy white woman. The only kind of white woman that would take up with a black man in the 50s and the 60s was a sleazy.
First of all, I don't know what a sloozy is. It doesn't sound good.
Floozy, second of all, I think he meant.
What about black women who fell in love with white men? What about couples that got together because they wanted to be together?
Could they be not trash but just not racist? Maybe
that's what's going on.
Was a floozy, was a low-life, snail-eating white woman. That's the kind of woman that Obama's mama was. And that's what my mama told me.
Okay.
If you don't like it, go tell my mama that you don't like it. But my mama told me, and my mama's mama told her, and all the mamas in the community of blacks saw those trashy white women hanging around on the outskirts of town called the Black Bottom, where the black men live.
Okay.
Hanging around on the outside. Side of skirts of town with their skirts jacked up and their breasts showing, hoping that some of these black men would take an interest in them. They were nothing but trash.
I love him so much.
Wow.
He's awesome. Again, you can see the video of this, the front page of Kevin and Bean at krock.com. We continue now more with the Honorable James David Manning, PhD.
His mama got knocked up by this low life, this low living, alcoholic, pathetic African who was already married to several other women back in Africa when she lay down with him, when she wallowed in the mire with him, when she laid in the hog path with him and got knocked up with him. She was trash. That doesn't mean that Sarah Palin is,
no.
Nor that her daughter. There is a distinct difference, and it needs to be clear.
Well, you're certainly getting the message out. Now, here's the best part. I mean, he's awesome so far. Now he turns his attention to the mainstream media. He's going to be mentioning some people that are on channels like CNN who he thinks are dragging the Palins through the mud. He's got some questions about maybe, I don't know, what's going on at their home situation.
Leave Bristol Palin alone. Otherwise, find out what your daughter's been doing. Yeah, let's find out what. John Roberts, you got a daughter? Hey, Wolf Blitzer, you got a Donna Brazile?
Wolf Blitzer? Wolf Blitzer? This is what I look for in my Men of God, by the way, is threaten to blackmail the media if they report stories that you don't like.
Let's find out what y'all's homosexual children are doing.
Whoa.
Hey, come on, let's find out what the children of these news reporters, Keith Olbermann, Chris Matthews, let's find out what your deranged, drug-dealing, Satan-worship, homosexual, sodomizing children, what are your children doing?
Now, how did they get
guessing,
to...
Or?
I don't know. How did they get to... Why are they on drugs and worshiping Satan all of a sudden? I thought we were talking about 17-year-olds who got pregnant.
Because they come from trash, Bean. That's
I
why.
Guess,
if
I
you
guess
come
that's...
From
what
trash,
are they doing?
What are they doing? That's a great question. Yeah, if you come from trash, I guess you're just trash.
You can go to Harvard. You're still trash, man.
I so wish my church was like this. I so wish.
Believe me, I'd go.
Let's see if we can't get that up on the internet. Let's go to Facebook and see what are your young ones doing. Yeah. Why don't we do that? Since it's public nonsense, everybody's children a public property. Let's find out what your drug using Satanist homosexual bestiality children are doing and what you are doing to them.
Now, why do you have to do it with the dog now? What's that all about?
No, I'm very confused.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Might as well get it all out in the open, don't you think? Might as well bring it, since you want to bring it out about Bristol Palin. Let's see what y'all young'uns are doing. Yeah! What's good for the goose ought to be good for the gander. Pot shouldn't be able to call the kettle black without expecting the same kind of a response.
Why the pot got to be black?
That's what I was going to say.
Come on.
So, want to talk about Bristol Palin? Let's talk about that trash that hatched Obama. Yeah! Let's get down and dirty. If you want to get down and dirty, come on. Don't start nothing. It won't be nothing. But you won't start something. It's sure enough. You can start it. I'll end it for you.
Okay.
So.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
There you have it.
There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, my new hero, my new favorite person in the world. I am moving to New York and I am attending his church. I have no choice. This is why I'm saying that the Hillary and Petra show needs to be on, because the band that's coming up next is called Slightly Stupid. It's way more fun to hear them say it than hear me say it.
Slightly Stupid.
Big fan it's of called, Slightly Stupid.
It's called 2 a.m. That's next after Doc's News at 9. Also next hour, the Offspring, Beastie Boys, and more. It's 8:54. Ralph's got our final look at the showbiz beat for Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I have...
Huge balls.
A little giveaway. Well, that too. But I also have a giveaway of Heroes.
Oh. Which, as you know, comes back next week. We're just days away from the three-hour Heroes premiere.
Is it really 3 hours?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it need to be?
Has there ever been a three-hour premiere of a TV show?
I think
show?
It's 1 hour is like sort of a catch-up tribute,
up?
Sort of interview slash behind-the-scenes kind of dealy.
Okay.
And then I think there's a two-hour premiere. I could
well, the
be
show
wrong.
Hasn't
could
been
be
on
hours.
Since 99, right? I mean, that's the last episode was in 1999,
just
right?
A mere 9 months ago, we had our last taste of Heroes, watching Siler inject Claire's blood into his bloodstream to get his powers back.
Mm.
That's how we let off season two. Season three is right around the corner. If you'd like to see season one and season two of Heroes on Blu-ray disc, I've got a box of each of those for you, if you can answer the following trivia question. Heroes fans, what is the name of the Bennett family dog? Claire Bennett, of course, the cheerleader who is invincible. Her father, Noah Bennett, horn rim glasses. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the family's dog? 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now. First person through with the correct answer, boom. Scored a pair of box sets of Heroes, both seasons one and two, for your viewing enjoyment. Bad news for us Foo Fighter fans.
What?
Dave Grohl has announced the band is set to take a long hiatus from music.
They have been working pretty consistently for a number of years.
Dave warns fans not to expect a new album anytime soon. Dave recently told BBC Radio 1 that the band was set to go on hiatus and then return with a new sense of purpose somewhere further down the line. We've never really taken a long break, he said. I think it's time. After doing Wembley, of course, the band played Wembley Stadium on June 6th, mm-hmm. he said during the interview, we shouldn't have come back there for 10 years because we played to everybody. So they're done for a while.
Well, I can understand that.
I can't. I need new Foo Fighters, at least yearly. So we got to talk to Dave and get him to reconsider. That's just wrong. I have a correction to make. Once again, I've been spreading lies. Eva Mendez is unhappy with the erroneous reports circulating across the internet that she's had sex in all 50 states. That was one of my lead stories all day today.
Yeah. Well, I hope she's upset because they forgot to include Puerto Rico.
No.
Or that Alaska was better than she remembered.
Eva's rep says the story is a complete fabrication and is entirely untrue.
Oh, what are you going to come at us like that for?
It's not a bad story. Why not just let it go?
In fact, Ms. Mendez wasn't even present at the event at which these comments were supposedly made. The entire thing is absurd and offensive.
Really?
Why is it offensive that Eva gets a little bit everywhere?
Yeah.
Why is that offensive?
Furthermore, she's never been to the United States.
And furthermore, why let the truth get in the way of a really good story?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So... Sorry.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Sorry if I upset at Eva for any reason. We have a winner for my trivia question? Let's talk to Nelson in Los Angeles. Morning, Nelson.
Good morning, Ralph.
I loved your music, Gunner.
<What's> Mr. Muggles.
Mr. Muggles is the name of the Bennett family dog. You're absolutely right. I'm going to give you the box set of Season 1 and Season 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray. Congratulations.
Right.
Hold on, we'll give you all the details.
Yeah, Nelson.
Well, Dad.
Nelson's one of those guys who actually owns a Blu-ray player, I think. That's why he's excited. He's one of the few people who actually has it. I don't know many people who have the Blu-ray.
I feel like...
I think it's
like,
great technology. I'd like to have it, but it's still early. It's
you
still
need
early
a deal, bro?
That
I get you Blu-ray. I get you Blu-ray.
Blu-ray
I do refi Blu-ray.
Do you stock them deep and sell them cheap?
You're crazy not to buy from me, bro.
That's what I thought.
I know that technology moves pretty fast, but you do finally get used to one form of entertainment, and then something else comes along, and you got to ask yourself, well, is it worth investing in, or should I just wait for the next thing, you know?
Well, the DVD's been around forever. We've all had that.
Yeah.
But this really cool stuff is starting to come out on Blu-ray, and now I'm tempted to get myself one.
I mean, I picked up, what was it? It was some Tom Cruise movie that just came out, some re-release of a Tom Cruise movie that just came out this week. Maybe it was Risky Business. And there's brand new features and commentary on the thing just for Blu-ray, not even on the DVD. I mean, they're starting to, to try to get you, suck you in like that by giving you stuff you can't get anywhere else but the Blu-ray.
They just re-released the 1966 feature film Batman movie starring Adam West on Blu-ray. And, of course, I bought it.
Because you will have
a Blu-ray player, but someday eventually I'll be able to. But they also have a brand new set of interviews with the cast and all that kind of stuff, too. So.
Yeah, they're sucking us in, man.
Speaking of which, we'll be talking to Mr. West tomorrow to celebrate his birthday. 80 years old.
Doesn't look a day over 85.
Now stop it. He looks like he's in his 60s.
He does.
He does. He looks good.
He seems very coherent.
Yes.
In case you're wondering, we talk to TV's Batman every year on his birthday in case it's his last.
Shut up!
No, I'm just saying. We want to make sure to not miss one.
God,
that's all.
I hate you. You're banned. You don't get to talk to him.
Who loves Adam?
If your satellite or whatever it is you beam yourself into every morning, if that accidentally gets unplugged tomorrow during the Adam West interview, do not be surprised.
I love Adam West, and you know that my love for him is sincere.
How
many times have you heard me say there's only three celebrities in the world I care about, and he's one of them?
I just heard you say it might be his last birthday. That's all I heard.
He's 80.
That's what's fresh in my
mind.
He's
human. I'm just saying he's 80. I'm just saying I'm glad we get the chance to talk to him because I don't know how many more chances there are going to be. That's all I'm
saying.
That
kind of talk that's getting you banned from the interview, sir. Pat O'Brien can't shut up.
Dick?
Yes. Yes, indeed, Lisa.
What's going on with Pat?
Well, first of all, you may not remember, but he released an email of his got released where he went after Nancy O'Dell, who was his co-anchor over there on Access Hollywood.
Bell,
back
by
in
the
day.
Way.
Yeah, Wade Bell.
For many years. Yeah, you're right.
They had some feud going on, and the nasty emails that he was sending her were released, and we all got a chance to read that. Then Pat, of course, made the infamous phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
You want to blow with me and sex and from a trampoline and just say yes. Say yes. So.
But he's recovered from all that. He's been to rehab, and now he's back out, and he's hosting his freak show at night, and I thought he was doing fine.
He's not hosting the freak show anymore.
Oh, he's not on that anymore.
The Insider has moved Pat to correspondent duty.
Oh.
He is no longer a host. Lara Spencer now hosts solo.
Oh,
well, she's awful.
Wow.
And Pat, I don't think, is too pleased about it and has sent an email to the staff at The Insider and Entertainment Tonight that has been released, and it makes him look not great.
Oh, I can't wait.
See, Lara does a thing every night where they take a look at her outfit, because mostly chicks watch these shows, and say, here's how you can get Lara's outfit for less. You know, her dress is made by so-and-so, but you can get one just like it at Target or something,
right.
And they break it down, you know, to give
you,
like,
those in magazines,
the
too.
Economy version, how you can replicate her look.
Right.
Okay.
Well, here's Pat's email. Hi, folks. I just spent a couple days in Iowa. I'm a little bit of a favorite son there. And I spoke with maybe 1,000 people and was very hands-on. Even Joe Biden said, you should be running for president. Come on. But what I came away with was, these people can't afford gas, books, food, schools, or movies. I was approached 100 times by asking, can you help us? Yeah, people are asking Pat O'Brien to help them with the economy. I tried to tell them we care, but they didn't buy it. They wanted to, but watching Lara Spencer pick out accessories makes the viewers want to vomit. I'll get killed for this, but I'm actually not one afraid for my job. I want people to be happy.
Wow.
I understand where he's coming from. Is that those shows are pretty frivolous, and if you are in a tough situation in a place like Iowa or something like that, I understand you don't really care about what a Hollywood starlet is wearing.
The show is frivolous. For 20 years with Access Hollywood and The Insider, now he's just decided that The Insider is a frivolous show.
No, I understand. I mean, he's
pretty
late
coming to that.
Wait, take
a look at the lion-faced woman's plastic surgery results. Now, all of a sudden, now he's running for president
twins.
With Joe Biden.
No. Yeah.
The anorexic Australian twins eat each other tonight. We've got the footage.
Whoa.
And the cannibalism.
Oh, okay.
So now, all of a sudden, the show makes people want to vomit.
He's kind of the wrong guy to be pointing out how lame that show is, I think. I agree with you on
Come on!
He also, remember, for a long time, and I like Pat. I haven't quite turned on him like you have, Ralph. But for a long time, he's talked about wanting to get into politics. I mean, I think he may have blown a shot with all that rehab stuff. But he's actually fancied himself a man of the people who will one day be the governor of South Dakota.
I have no problem with Pat. I just don't like hypocrisy.
I hear you.
And
I understand.
I think that's hypocritical.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Exhibit turns 34 years old today. James Marsden. From The Notebook and Ally McBeal and the X-Men. I almost said X-Files. He's not in the X-Files at all. 35. Jada Pinkett Smith, 37. James Gandolfini turns 47 years old today. Fred Willard is 69. And Robert Blake turns 75 years old today. He, of course, a television and movie star for many years. An actor, probably most famously known when his wife was killed in a bizarre gun accident.
Where's the downside? You tell me where the downside is.
He was implicated, but never convicted of the murder of Bonnie Lee Bakley. He is 75 years old today, and believe it or not, we still don't have time.
No, we have time.
Let's
hear your story. We do. I want to hear your story. What happened? You encountered Mr. Blake in person.
I was taking acting classes with a very talented actress, Oscar-winning actress named Kim Darby, who, if you've ever seen the movie True Grit with John Wayne, she plays the young girl in that film, and she's had a long and storied career, and now she's got into coaching, acting coaching. So I was taking classes with her, and she is friends with Blake. And so he stepped in one night to be the guest instructor at this acting class. And we used to have to do scenes from different movies and stuff, and they'd film it, you know, and then you'd critique your performance, but they would give you coaching while you were filming the scenes. And I was filming a scene with a young girl. We were doing a scene from a movie called Hush, where she played like an undercover cop who was going into like crack houses or something, and she gets hooked on narcotics. And I'm her superior, who's giving her a hard time and telling her she's got to straighten up her act. And it's a very emotionally charged scene. And so Robert Blake is directing us in the course of this scene. And he didn't apparently think I was being angry enough at this character. So he comes down to where we're filming it, and he says, "Ralph, man, you're just not giving it the intensity you need. I mean, you're coming off too sympathetic. Look at this girl." And he turns to this girl who's got to be, I don't know, 20.
Yeah.
And I will use the word runt in place of the word he was actually throwing around on the set. He said, "Look at this effing runt. This runt is ruining your job. She's endangering your... Look at her runt. This ugly effing runt." Oh. And he's in this girl's face. And she starts... I see a tear coming out of the corner of her eye. And she just unleashes this torrent of tears. She breaks down right in front of the class and in front of me. And he's like, "That's the kind of reaction you have to get from her from this scene." And I was like, "Okay, Mr. Blake, I'll try to do that." And needless to say, it was a disaster. And she was she never came back to class.
Oh, God.
He's the best.
But he is quite intense.
He can make women cry. We know that about Robert Blake.
He was quite intense and quite the entertainer, and I enjoyed him. And we hit it off quite famously.
You saw Beretta wreck a woman. That's awesome.
I said it was awful. You reduced her to tears in front of everyone. I thought it was very entertaining. So that's my brush with greatness with Robert Blake. I'll never forget it. That's why I sent him a cake with a file in it when he was inside.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All controversy in Britain, Lisa. I don't know if you've seen this latest story of political correctness, but the college is called Yorkshire Coast College in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And they are no longer referring to the Christmas and Easter breaks in the school schedule as Christmas and Easter breaks because it might offend people who are of different faiths.
Oh, no kidding.
God forbid you call it Christmas and someone isn't a Christian and doesn't celebrate Christmas, and then they get all offended. So, of course, there's an uproar there. So we thought, you know, rather than just assume where they're coming from, why not talk to somebody from the Yorkshire Coast College? And producer Alex has lined up for us the director of social awareness at the school, Professor Nigel Pagel, is on the line with us right now. Good morning, Nigel. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell us about the Yorkshire Coast College. I'm sorry to say I've not heard of that one.
We're a small liberal arts university in Yorkshire.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, we've been getting quite a bit of attention since this story hit the major news services.
Yeah, I bet you have. I mean, isn't a Christmas break, whether you're of that faith or not, isn't it generally just understood that that's the time in late December where people celebrate that?
Well, I'm sorry, I beg to differ, but it's not Christmas break if you're a Muslim or a Jew. It simply isn't. It is an end-of-term break, of course, for you believing. It is a vacation, but it's simply not a Christmas break for you. And so to be calling it such may be offensive to some people who believe... they don't share the Christian beliefs.
Now, did you have some people of other faiths who complained about Christmas and Easter, or is this just you assuming that they might be offended?
No, they haven't complained, but why take that risk? Why risk offending someone when you can easily make a few small changes and then prevent that from happening, I think is the priority for us.
Do you have a lot of students who are of other faiths?
Oh, yes. We have quite a number of Muslim students, of course. We have a huge Islamic population in the UK, and so they are attending our university more and more so.
Right.
And so we have to take certain steps to make sure that they're not offended.
Well, I think what you've accomplished here, sir, is that you've offended the majority of people who are Christians who now are offended that you're not calling it Christmas and Easter.
Well, you know, I'll have you know, it's been going on in your United States for some time now in your public school systems. They often have the spring or winter break. The Christmas and Easter holiday has been eliminated from those schools, and we think it's a great idea. In fact, it's just one of several changes we're making at the university to make sure that the students of different ethnicities or religious backgrounds are not offended.
Okay, other than Christmas and Easter, there's other things you're attacking as well?
Yes, for instance, in the classrooms themselves, teachers will no longer be able to write on a blackboard because we don't want the blacks to be offended.
Okay. Why does the board got to be black?
Exactly. People get offended when you talk about the blackboard. Now it shall be known as the African board.
But it doesn't have anything to do with people's skin color. It's just black because that's easier to see chalk on.
Well, try saying that to the blacks because they get all uppity in your grill when you say something that they don't like. Next thing you know, you've got a shiv on your way out to the car in the parking lot. And I'm just not running that risk.
That seems way more offensive than using a blackboard to classroom.
Oh, right. My bad. They don't murder and rob.
Yeah. No, they don't murder and rob.
Sorry.
As a race.
Sorry,
no.
Forgot they don't murder and rob. Okay. Look, if you want to take your chance with an angry black man who's upset because you're calling something a blackboard, that's your business. But here at this school, I am erring on the side of caution.
Well, you are the director of social awareness, so exactly. I guess you would know better than I would, okay?
In the restrooms, both male and female, we will no longer be featuring towels to be drying your hands. There will be those air dryers now. No more towels.
Why?
Now, is that for environmental reasons?
No, because we don't want to offend the towel heads.
Well, they're
the
not,
next thing
not...
you know, they'll be all up in arms. Oh, no, 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 no. Why has it got to be a towel? Why can't
Professor...
it be a shroud of Turin to dry your hands on? And then they're all upset, and then I've got lawsuits, and frankly, I don't need this BS.
But it's just a towel. It's just a towel you use to dry your hands. It doesn't have anything to do with anyone's religion or the way they dress.
It is, so you wrap it around your head and strap some C4 to your chest. Then it's a whole different story, isn't it?
Well,
my entire college is just blown to pieces, and I've just got rubble all around me. No, thank you,
about.
Sir. No, thank you indeed.
Okay.
And lastly, we're no longer calling them dirty Jews.
What?
Well, then why were you even calling them that?
Well, I just don't like them.
Right, but you can't. Of course you're not calling them that. That would be offensive and wrong.
Right, so I'm all good now, okay? Everyone, get out of my ass.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Guys, how long has Alex been our producer on the Kevin and Bean Show now, do you think?
6 months?
7 months, yeah.
Seven months.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Been about that long. It's weird that Lightning is still picking the prizes for What It Do, Nephew, because today we have for you a pair of tickets to the LG World Championships of Freestyle Motocross coming up on Saturday, September 27th at the LA County Fair.
I like exhaust fumes.
Plus, we'll throw in a Mountain High season pass valid for the entire 08-09 season. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Why don't we start with Matt in Long Beach, who may be the gayest person in the world.
Wow.
And yes, whoever you're thinking of that's gay, Matt is gayer. That's Matt, welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. What it do?
What it do? I'm not gay.
Oh, yeah? Prove it. Why are you calling?
I'm tired of Megan Fox. I'm tired of you guys talking about it. I'm tired of hearing about her. Listen, after your show yesterday, I tuned into my other favorite show. Not favorite show, but good show. And they talked about it for 20 minutes.
You're kidding.
Well, do you think it's possible that maybe you're the odd man out here? Like, maybe there's a reason why the rest of us are interested in her and you're not?
No. I mean, she's hot. There's no question about that. But she hasn't even done anything that warrants this kind of attention.
She doesn't need to.
She's hot. That's
you're
it.
So flimsy.
What a flimsy bitch you are. I bet even your boyfriend thinks she's hot.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
All right. Your request has been heard and it is denied. I'm sorry. Okay.
Right.
See you later.
All right, fair enough.
All right. Now let's move on to someone who has something important to say. Sean is in Redlands on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Sean. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
That wild car has no idea what he's talking about.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Hey, I want to say Megan Fox is coming to the 909.
Not on purpose, right?
Oh, yes, she is.
Has she been kidnapped?
Oh, no, no. She's coming to beautify the 909.
What's going on? What's the story?
She making a meth buy?
No, what she's doing is her crew just came out and signed on to film a part of the Transformers 2. They signed on to film at the power plant. I found out my buddy is a firefighter, and the film crew asked his crew to come over and oversee the film as they're filming it.
Oh, I see. Okay. It's a location shoot. Look, that doesn't really count as her being in the 909 because she's going to be hermetically sealed on a film set. Believe me, they're going to put a giant bubble over her so she doesn't accidentally breathe any of your air.
Oh, you know, I'm going to see if I can become a volunteer firefighter and go over there.
Yes, you should.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Hey, if you're there or if your fire buddy is there and actually gets to see it and see her, please call us back, okay?
I sure will.
Yes, Ralph.
Look at line number three. Jason in Los Angeles?
No, 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 no.
Could it get any better than this?
No. Jason, what? What's the deal?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, J-Train?
Hey, I'm on the set of Transformers 2, and guess who I just bumped into?
No, you did not. You did not.
Yes, I did. We just got done doing the scene right now.
What do you do for the movie?
I'm doing the extra work right now, but we're going through a mall, and I have to actually bump into her shoulder.
Oh, Jason.
In the movie, when Transformers 2 comes out, you're going to be seen on screen touching Megan Fox.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be the one holding the phone.
What? Wait. You bump shoulders? That's what...
Yeah, well, she's running through, and she runs right into my shoulder.
I got you.
Why don't you have your penis surgically attached to your shoulder?
Oh, please.
Dude.
Wow, that's hot.
I know when you show up on a movie set, you get hired as an extra. You don't know what to expect. They could have you just be standing in the background, or they could do any number of things. When you found out that you were going to be running into Megan Fox, what did that... Did your head explode?
No, not really, because I just made it up to get on the air. Oh, pretty strong.
That was pretty good, Jason.
Is he going to yell Santa Monica
you
now?
You got us.
It might as well.
You got
well
us.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, that was
By the way, this is a sinker.
We wouldn't be gullible for any other subject matter, but Megan Fox, we totally got suckered.
No, he totally rules. There's no question about that. Yeah. This actually wasn't meant to be a Let's Talk About Megan Fox segment. You are actually able to call on anything that you want. And Raul is in La Puente, for instance. He wants to change topics for us. Hey, Raul, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, Nancy? What it do, baby?
What it do, Raul?
This to Ralph.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ralph, who do you think is going to win the Sunday game, Philly or Pittsburgh?
Oh, the Battle of Pennsylvania. This is going to be a surprise to you, but I actually think the Eagles are going to win that contest.
No, negative.
The Stillers?
I don't think the Stillers are going to win because it's the
yes,
end.
They will. I'll put 100 ducats on it.
Credits, you mean?
No, 100 bucks.
Well, we can't gamble because that would be illegal and wrong.
Credits, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. See, it's in Philly, which I feel good about, and Roethlisberger still has that sore shoulder. It was partially separated earlier, and then he took a bad hit this past Sunday, so I think the Eagles are going to take him.
No, they won't.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a good argument.
All right, Raul, let me ask you a question here, because there are some fans who just root for their team and want them to win, but there are other fans who also understand that maybe sometimes they're paying better teams. Ralph has given you some specific reasons why he thinks Philadelphia is a better team this weekend than Pittsburgh. Why do you think the Steelers are a better team this weekend than Philadelphia?
They got a good running team, good defense. They know way they're going to lose it. There's no way. Okay. I've been a fan since the 70s, so I ain't going to back out on them.
Again, there's a difference between rooting for a team and thinking your team will win. That's all I'm suggesting.
I'm not thinking. I know. Guarantee they're going to win.
You're guaranteeing it.
Okay. Guaranteed. All right, Raul. You hang on for your prize. I'll let Ralph pick up in the other room if you guys want to make a friendly off-air wager, okay?
He wants to go straight up. No spread. He wants to pick just straight up Eagles Steelers.
I would say winner shaves the other guy's head, but I can tell by his voice his head's already shaved.
That's right. And why aren't you a Raiders fan, by the way?
Because he likes the Stillers.
I think we just lost Raul, actually.
Oh, he hung up.
He got mad. He got mad.
Making fun of my hair.
Guarantee the Stillers are going to win. Just
making fun of my hair, too.
I know it.
All right. Wow, we got some great calls. We don't have time for all of them. Let's do one more. It's going to be Derek in Brea. Apparently got in trouble from listening to the Kevin and Bean show. And I'm always sorry to hear that. Hi, Derek. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
Oh, are you the Derek that called us yesterday?
That's me.
Hey, well, what happened?
I got in class today, and I got called out. Hey, were you on K-Rock yesterday? And I was like, oh, what's that? But, yeah, the coach heard me live yesterday talking about...
This was the guy who was stoned when you were working with the players. You were being a physical therapist for the team, right?
Correct, Amundo.
And
you got fired.
I got fired. That was a short-lived internship.
Well, Derek, it wasn't being paid.
It was a stupid thing to do also, right, for you to come on the air and admit that.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I guess I just have to find someone that doesn't listen to K-Rock.
Or don't get really stoned before you're supposed to be helping people with physical therapy.
Ralph? Is that Ralph?
Yeah.
That,
enough out of you. That's not an option.
That is not a possibility.
Sorry.
I don't know what I was thinking, Derek.
One more thing. Since Psycho Mike was sleeping on that Megan Fox call, let me give you the sound pick. He's a fag.
Oh, okay.
Right. I guess I got caught slipping there.
Yeah. What a burn.
Maybe don't get really stoned before you call us either. Maybe that's another thing to do.
All right, I think Derek is two strikes and you're out. I don't think we'll be going to him tomorrow in the segment. I want to thank our special guest, the lovely Renee Schreider, for joining us today. She, I thought, was very entertaining. She's the woman in the Mini-Me sex tape video, and I couldn't tell with her whether she's happy that it's out there or she's not happy that it's out there. She certainly is capitalizing on it.
We were not going to get her to address it, but I had heard the rumor that she was the one that leaked the tape.
That's what I heard, too.
She's legally not able to say that.
She wasn't able to address how the tape became public in some mysterious way.
Really just leaves her.
Yeah. Sexwithminime.com is the site if you want to check that out. Tomorrow morning, I can't stand how big this show is. I don't know how we're going to fit it all in 5 hours. I mean, I really don't. For starters, it's Talk Like a Pirate Day. I mean, like right there, like that's not already an extravaganza. Right? Talk Like a Pirate Day. If you want to call and be part of the party and leave a message for us, your Talk Like a Pirate Day joke or whatever you got, 323-520-AFRO is the number, and that's up and running right now. TV's Batman, Adam West, on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow. He is turning 80, as you know, and we will not rest until we get him that star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And I want to make sure he understands by the time he hangs up the phone tomorrow that we're still committed to that for next year.
I can't believe I let him down and didn't get him a star this year.
Adam West, a little bit softer now. Adam West.
Adam West should record an album.
It wasn't your fault. Oh, that's a great idea.
It was my fault.
It wasn't your fault.
I was in charge. I was the point man in getting that pushed through, and I could not convince the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce to do the right thing.
I think they had their minds made up on that one, to tell you the truth, ahead of us even getting the paperwork in. I really do think. I think next year I feel good about, though. So we just got to be optimistic and look toward the future.
He was awesome last time we talked to him.
Yes, he was awesome. He's the best. Also, another one of Ralph's boyfriends on the program tomorrow, Andrew Siciliano, is going to be joining us from DirecTV, from the Red Zone.
Love it.
One of the most talented broadcasters working today. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel is going to be on. He has a primetime Emmy special this Sunday night on ABC. And I mentioned Talk Like a Pirate Day. I think I forgot to mention the originators of the holiday themselves, Captain Slappy and Old Chum Bucket, are going to be making an appearance once again. This is like 5-6 years in a row or something like that we've talked to these guys.
You think these guys are making a bucket all off this thing? Because it has taken off. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But it's certainly bigger than they are now, that's for sure.
I would just feel bad if they didn't somehow find a way to get some sort of, 5-cent residual every time somebody buys a Talk Like a Pirate Day card or something.
Yeah,
that would be good.
Because they deserve a few bucks.
Well, I know that one of the guys emailed me recently, Ralph, and is living on a Caribbean island or something. He's not even, he's moved out of the United States.
Oh, I see. It's like that, is it? He's a little crazy. Let's pretend I'm a real pirate now, honey. Let's move to the Caribbean.
Well, let's find out. He's a pirate of the Caribbean,
that's
I guess.
A little sad.
How about 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock coming up next with our old friend Kat Corbett. Rise Against is going to be part of that. Also, Cake. We got Incubus on the way, Papa Roach, MIA, and more. It's all right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.